Who is your daddy?
I am your father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
All right, welcome to episode 9 of Dad Noises. That's the new title. What do you think, Derek?
Dad Noises. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's not bad. Dad Noises.
I mean, what's our intro going to be, though?
Oh, I don't know. Probably just that Family Guy clip.
Oh, okay.
just fart. Yeah, farting, burping, grunting, saying stop it. Yeah, those are the opening sounds.
Yeah.
My name is Tim Nestor, and I'm here with Derek Teague, and we are here to talk about video games, game news, things that we're playing, what our families are doing, and we both have things to share, both in terms of what we're playing as well as how our families are doing. So, Derek, before we talk about anything else, what's going on with you, man? How are things going? How's your family? All that good stuff.
All right. Well, we're recording on a Friday. Normally we do Thursday nights, but Thursday night got blocked off because, to be honest, I was just exhausted. I didn't get home from sports with the kids until after 9, and that's normally when we try to start up. So I had to get the kids settled in and everything. Long story short, we're recording on a Friday, so I rushed home, and we're actually trying to record earlier because... earlier in the day, I should say. We're at about 6:45 right now, Eastern Standard Time. And so I wanted to do earlier because I knew my wife and kids were all going to a birthday party for one of, I think it's Ian's friend from school's birthday party.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, perfect. No noises. I don't have to worry about a freaking washing machine. No random cat noises and yelling. It
perfect scenario.
Peaceful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, I don't think the podcast gods agreed because I came home, and as soon as I got home, I got everything set up. I turned the computer on. I pulled up Audacity.
Right.
Got Skype up.
It's working so far. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me text Tim. Let him know I'm logging in. And so I'm like, okay, there's only one thing I need, and that's when I'm doing a podcast, I need to make sure I have fluids, water, something to drink, so when my throat dries out, I can obviously go to that.
Yep.
So I go grab a nice glass of water, I put it down.
Filled to the brim.
Yeah, filled to the brim, it's nice and cold, and I'm like, okay, all right, only one thing I gotta do is plug in my headset to my TV. So I grab the headset real quick, and the cord, I guess, was underneath the water, so it whipped the cord out underneath the water, causing the water to spill on my keyboard, my mouse, my new Amiibos I just got, which I'll probably talk about, some other stuff that I don't know if it's broken yet. So now I'm trying to log in and get all this stuff settled in, even to try to record this
using
the Audacity program. I can't even use my mouse correctly. I clicked on the record button like 1,000 times, and I was like, Tim, it's not working.
Well, you sound like you're underwater, so if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't be. I'm actually going to strike and boycott water right now.
Well, we're going to power through. You're a trooper for pushing through. That's super annoying. I shared this with you before we started, but I actually had a water on the keyboard incident when I used to game on a laptop back in the day. I was playing World of Warcraft, spilled water everywhere. I feel your pain. I feel your pain. That laptop was shot because of the amount of water that just got dumped right into it because of me. You know, you can't blame anyone else but yourself, and it's annoying because you can't punish someone. You can't yell at someone. You can't be irritated. You're just mad at yourself. That's super frustrating.
I might yell at Eli later and just tell him that he left water on my desk and I was setting up and I ended up spilling his water.
Make sure you tell him that Tim doesn't blame you, but you know, Dad blames you. Make sure you tell him that it's not, not my idea.
I'm actually going to explain to him what happened and then say how you laid into him on the podcast, that you're really upset with him.
No, he listens to it. He knows the truth. Eli, you know the truth.
He does. He goes to YouTube.
All right. Well, other than your little adventures to get recording started here, everything else going well? You able to do some gaming at all? I mean, we don't have to talk about what we're playing yet, but everything else with the family going well?
Yeah, everything's going good. I couldn't game right now. Like, I wanted to come home and put in a certain game that I'm going to talk about a little bit later and start it up, but I couldn't even do that. So
yeah.
But other than that, everything's good. How about you?
Not too bad. We've actually got a little bit of a stomach bug going through for a couple of the kids. We've got five kids, and our youngest, our daughter, the only girl, she got sick. We had just gone to a bowling alley last week, and it doesn't surprise me that someone got sick. It just really stinks that it was kind of that stomach bug, pukey stuff. So she had about a day and a half of that, and then one of the twins, we've got twins who just turned five. It was their birthday. We went to the bowling alley for it, and he got sick. So we had a really rough night with him a couple nights ago. But right now, everything seems all right, knock on wood. And yeah, right now, everything seems okay. We'll see how it goes. With a family our size, typically these things run their course through everybody. But hopefully this time it's just two and done. So
I hope you have a lot of sick days at your job.
Not a ton. But in case any of my coworkers ever listen to this, that's not a problem. I don't mind it at all. I love the number of 6 days that I get. It's great. Yeah. All right. Well, I want to promote to you guys our new Facebook group that Derek and I put together probably about a month and a half ago, but we didn't really promote it yet until we started to get a little bit of community built with this podcast. And now that we have some people listening regularly, which is awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. We went ahead and made a Facebook group. So if you just go onto Facebook and that top search bar, just look for Fathers of the Grind. You should be able to find our group. It's a closed group. Just request to join it. One of us will accept you. And then that's a great place to come in, continue the conversation, make fun of us, ask questions, suggest topics, make fun of us some more, whatever floats your boat. So come on over to the group, join it.
Yeah, we created it mainly to make it easier on listeners. Even though we have a website and stuff like that where you can contact the email address, I think it's easier. Most people are on their phones. Most people mm-hmm. have a Facebook app yep. to just to log in, go into their group, and just be like, "Hey, I gotta tell Tim he's terrible." So yeah. I'm just gonna type in a comment or something like that along those lines. But
although you fill that quota just fine. No one else needs to. You take care of that Tim is terrible quota just
well,
fine.
Well, you know, I get so frustrated with all the love you get. Maybe it's a jealousy thing because I'm definitely hated on, and you're overly loved. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to try to balance things out and hate on you.
Yeah, I don't know if that's totally true, but and I haven't heard too much back, but I'm sure at some point someone will give me a hard time for not totally loving Rise of the Tomb Raider right out of the gate. And as I re-listened to that as I was editing it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not being fair to that game. So as I'm listening to it, I'm getting annoyed with myself. So I know someone out there was annoyed that I really didn't give Rise of the Tomb Raider a fair shake. So it happens.
I expect Jesse White to give you some crap. So hopefully
that's true.
I don't know. Maybe he hasn't gotten to that part, or maybe he was like, oh, Tim's not being that harsh. But really, I don't care if you weren't being that harsh or not. You should still get crap for that.
Yeah, I should. Because when I do finally play it, you're totally right. I'm going to love it. It's one of those things that I wish I hadn't even started it, because I knew I wasn't really into playing Uncharted or Tomb Raider style game, but whatever.
Ooh, Uncharted.
All right, so I want to give a quick shout out to two of our community members. I want to make sure we do this fairly regularly just so you guys get a little bit of love, and you know that we are super appreciative of your support. So we'll start with Jose. Jose, and I'm going to say it's Jimenez, right?
It's definitely got to be Jimenez.
Jose is awesome, very active in the group, posting lots of questions, letting us know the good and the bad and everything in between. Also starting some good conversations about parenting stuff. So thanks, Jose, for being a part of the community, as well as Eric Madison, who is always up for gaming conversation. Actually, I think he and I sometimes have very similar gaming tastes, and other times he more aligns with some of your gaming tastes. So, but I've always enjoyed chatting with Eric in the groups. So shout out to Eric and to Jose. Thank you guys for being part of the community.
Agreed. Both are great members, very active. And the other thing I want to mention is we went from having two people in our Facebook group, that would be you and I.
Right. Well, then JP Thorne discovered it, and JP was in there. He was like our third secret member. And then Frank Clark found it. So we had four members, and they were like, sweet, part of the secret club.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. They both looked for it after listening to our show, because we hadn't publicly said anything. So those two, shout out to both of them for, you know, being inspired by our amazing show and looking for us on Facebook. But then I kind of opened it up to everybody, and you did as well, just kind of let everybody know that it existed. And mm-hmm. we went from four members to I think we're at 70 now.
Yeah, about 70. Yeah, just
in
a few
one
days.
Day. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's pretty sweet. So.
Yeah, so feel free to invite other gamers. And again, people have said, I'm not a parent, but thanks for inviting me. That doesn't matter. If you're a gamer, if you're 15 years old and you listen to the show, join the group. You know, whatever. It doesn't really matter. It's a family-friendly group for the most part. Just feel free. Join in. If you're a parent and you want to talk parenting and games, awesome. If you're just a gamer and want to talk games, that's also great. No big deal. The only people we don't welcome would be those filthy casuals. Isn't that what you said earlier?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We need to get... Actually, the thing is, we got like 70, but I need to get rid of some of the people in the group. Like, John Martin needs to go. Filthy casual. So.
All right. So, let me tell you what I'm currently playing right now. I'm going to highlight two games. We've talked about many of the other ones that we play ongoing, and so I won't even mention some of them. There's two that I'm spending a lot of time with right now. One primarily, and that is Far Cry Primal. I'm a good chunk into that game. I think it's saying I'm about 35% complete, and that's not the main story. That's the entire game. So I'm knocking out pretty heavy chunks of that game with all the hunting missions. I've got my village almost completely built up. I have every beast tamed except for the Snowblood Wolf. And it's so much fun. I'm totally loving that game. Sometimes I'll play it for half an hour. I'll go help a few of my tribes people, you know, escort them to a certain location or fight off some wildlife. Or I'll play for several hours at a time. Like when I had my sick day the other day, I was able to sneak in an hour here, 2 hours there, and knocked out a bunch of that game. So love that game. Can't recommend it enough. And I also, the other night, dove in just for a few minutes, maybe for like 20, 30 minutes, dove in a little bit to Galaxy, which is one of the PS Plus games recently. So really stylish game, very cool looking. Again, didn't get too far into it, but that's one that I'm not typically into arcade shooter style games. You know, spaceships flying around, that's not typically my favorite style. But man, this one looks cool. I like the way it controls. Really, really cool. So Galaxy, I'm looking forward to digging more into that one. So those are the two games that I'm mostly playing, other than the standards, you know, Fire Emblems, Rocket Leagues, and other things.
All right, nice. Far Cry Primal is definitely one I want to hit up next, but not currently really playing that. I think last time we recorded, I said I was about an hour in. Still currently an hour in.
There are some really funny moments in that, too, I should say. I just had one last night. This character named Ukri or Urki or something like that. He's this guy that you find randomly. There's this mission that pops up at one point. I'm not sure when it did. And he's totally insane. He's nuts off his rocker. And he's trying to get birds to tell him how to fly. And he asks you to go out and find all these animal feathers to help him fly. And then this is a great nod from Ubisoft. It's not a story spoiler. But if you want to know nothing about Far Cry Primal, skip ahead, you know, 1 minute. But he has you go and find all these feathers and all these different animal parts to help put together what he says is going to help him fly. And he's totally crazy. And by the way, all the characters are acted so well and speak that language, what sounds to be, so fluently, except this guy sounds like George W. Bush trying to speak another language. Like, he sounds really, really American, really Southern. So it's very funny. The whole thing's played for laughs. And then when you finally give him what he needs, he grabs these two tiny feathers, and he has you watch as he jumps off this huge cliff to try to fly. And of course, he plummets straight down what looks to be his death, but he actually flips over and lands in a giant pile of hay, like very Assassin's Creed style as he jumps off.
Nice.
It's a really funny. And so if you go over to the bale of hay, the mission's complete. You're done talking to him. You don't see him anymore, but you can hear him under the hay moaning, going, oh, like because he got really hurt or something. Oh, man. Great, great moment in that game. Really, really fun, though. Highly recommend it. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead and tell us what you're playing.
No, it's okay. You're rude all the time and stuff like that. No, I was going to say I definitely want to get to Far Cry Primal as soon as possible because it hasn't just been you. I mean, I know the reviews were solid. Like, to me, anytime a game comes out at around an 8 out of 10, it means it's a good game.
Agreed.
I don't know if you could say great, but a good game.
Yep.
But from everybody's reactions that I keep seeing online, it doesn't sound like a good game. It sounds like a great game. Like, it sounds like a must play. So, hour in, I definitely want to dive in deeper, but I think right now my focus is, my primary game is Fallout 4. I finally got that itch. I talked about it last week. I jumped in, and I have continued. It's actually gotten to the point where, and I'm not exaggerating, when I'm at work And sometimes, well, a lot of times I think about games. It's pretty sad, actually. But I'm at work, and I'm like, I just want to go home and play Fallout. I just want to go like, what do I have to do after work?
It's gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, our schedules are real busy, and mm-hmm. so I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't get time to play games. Of course I do. I beat a lot of games. I play Rocket League a lot. But it's even gotten to the point where unless I have a scheduled time to play with somebody on Rocket League, Fallout 4 has actually replaced Rocket League as far as the game I go to.
Wow.
Which is not something I say generally.
That's huge.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's better than Rocket League as far as do I have more fun with Fallout. No, it's just I have a desire to play it. I have a desire to finish at least the main story, the main quest, so I'm not going to put 100, 200 hours into it. I'll probably put in the 20 to 40, or no, I'm definitely going to do more than 20. I'm already 20 in now. But I'll do the 40, 60 hours or whatever to finish the story and maybe do some side quests. But overall, it's a great game. It's a lot of fun. It's real addicting to the point where you can get in the VAT system, do a headshot, lock on somebody, and blow their head up. It's probably the coolest thing in video games, at least to me. So I'm playing that. After I finish Fallout 4, I want to keep playing Fire Emblem. I don't want to quit on it. I haven't advanced in it at all, which makes me sad. So I do need to cut out some time with that. But I also want to start, I have not started it, but it is a goal of mine, Twilight Princess. Today is Friday the 4th, March 4th, and that's what released today. So that's what I was rushing home to hopefully start before we started recording this podcast. All I got to do was look at the title screen, so I'm about as far into that as I am into the Link to the Past.
I love that you start the title screens of all these Zelda games. It's really great.
I just look at it and I'm like, yes.
You're like, man, that's a good title screen.
$60 well spent.
Hitman's so right the same now, way, apparently.
Yeah, the goal is to play Fallout 4, but also maybe on the side, because I'm definitely going to start it tonight, get Twilight Princess going. I played a lot of it. I'm not going to say I played as much as I played A Link to the Past when I was younger, but I did play a lot of it when it released because I was really excited about it coming out on the Wii. I got the Wii on launch day, or not launch day because it was sold out, but I got it real, real, real early. And that was the first game I went to GameStop and bought. And so I got pretty far into it, obviously. Never beat it. So I would love to, especially since we got rid of the crappy motion controls. I'm real excited about playing with it. I plan on playing with a pro controller and then using the tablet as my map and stuff like that.
Nice.
So
that's I didn't know you could do that. So you can have one. They can have both of them active, but one of them is just sitting there like a tablet.
Yeah, I had the conversation with Frank Clark and Dan Phillips, and they said they both do the same thing.
Well, that's
cool.
They
use their pro controller, which is kind of pro controller for the Wii U, is kind of like a regular Xbox One or a DualShock controller, and then they use the tablet for. I know they use it for their map. I think they use it for their inventory as well.
Now, that'd be nice because there's plenty of times when you want to just take the, let's say, metal boots on and off real fast or whatever it might be. Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to use the tablet. Unfortunately, my Wii U tablet, it's not in terrible condition. It still works. All the buttons work. But there are a couple buttons that stick a little bit. And so when I was playing Wind Waker this past November, one of the reasons why I didn't get into Fallout 4. But when I was playing it, I was really struggling when I would hit the X button. It would stick. And it was really obnoxious. So I was like, I can play through Twilight Princess like that again with that. But I would prefer to go ahead and splurge and spend the $40. Because Best Buy had, and they still do this week, but when the show goes up, it will end. They had the Pro Controller on sale for $40. So I went ahead and bought that because I'm really stoked for this game.
Nice. Yeah, well, I loved Twilight Princess. I remember when it first came out, I got it. I played maybe halfway through it, and then one reason or another didn't finish it. Maybe I'd got it 360 at that point, but I know I didn't finish it. I went back to it about a year or two ago, and I played it all the way through from the beginning. And it turns out it's in my top five of Zelda games, which might be a good topic for us to cover in a future show. How do we rank our top Zelda games? What are our first Zelda memories? It's a big enough franchise with enough good games for us to chat about, even though maybe you haven't finished all the Zelda games, and I'm going to lay off and giving you a hard time about it for this time around, but you can still speak to the Zelda games, and so it'd be worth maybe revisiting that as a future topic on ranking our Zelda games.
I think, you know, if I don't cancel, because I am the boss of this podcast, if I don't cancel this podcast in the near future, which I plan on doing, I plan on beating A Link to the Past and Twilight Princess this year. So That would mean in 1 year I've beat Wind Waker, Twilight Princess, and A Link to the Past. So I'll have three of them knocked out. I think by the end of this year we could definitely do a top five. Right now,
those three, spoiler, would all be in contention for my top five for sure. For those of you who are friends with me on Facebook and you were part of the conversation this week about that, you already know my top five. Those three are three of the best.
Yeah, I released my top five. I'm not afraid to say it now. Number five is Wind Waker. Number four is Wind Waker. Number three is Wind Waker. Number two right now is a tie between Wind Waker and Wind Waker. And
close.
Then number one, because I actually finished it, it's the only Zelda game I've finished, so I've actually finished all five of my favorites, is Wind Waker. So I'm pretty proud of that list.
Wow, congratulations on putting that. That must have taken a long time to put that list together.
Yeah, I mean...
Weighing the pros and the cons.
Yeah, a lot of research, a lot of, hey, does this game suck? Is it, you know, what is it?
Yeah, thanks for helping us spend our time listening to that. All right, what I want to do now is I want to shift into not only from what I was playing and before we get into news, I want to talk a little bit about what it's like to be a dad or a parent and also be, I would consider us to be pretty hardcore gamers. I mean, we talk about the games we're playing, we're flying through games, we're doing four in February, we're part of gaming groups, we keep up with news, we're doing a podcast that people either think is fun to listen to, or, oh my goodness, you're the nerdiest people I've ever met. It just depends on where you're coming from. I mean, we are definitely hardcore gamers, but we're also, in some cases, very busy, very hardcore dads, too. Like, we're family men. We've got jobs. We have kids. And so what I wanted to ask you about, and I can answer this first if you want, so you can think about it. Can you think of moments in your life, especially since getting married and since having kids, that your other hobbies, specifically gaming, were interrupted because now you're a dad, now you're a husband, now these things, life is shifting, life is changing. So the reason I want to talk about this is we have listeners who are single, still in college maybe even, or younger. We have listeners who are dating very seriously or maybe newlyweds, they're just married with no kids. And we have listeners who are our age or older with kids. And we've got a whole bunch of different gamers that listen from all different walks of life. And so some of you can relate to our experiences, and some of you, you're kind of looking ahead at what's life going to be like when I do get married, when I do have kids. So I'm curious, Derek, to hear from your perspective, what changed for you, or what have you noticed has changed for you over time in terms of your hobbies because of your family, because you're a dad now? You know what? I'll go ahead and let you answer first now that I've talked enough. You answer first, and then I'll share a little bit. So what's it been like for you adjusting to life as a dad as a hardcore gamer?
I think the way I would answer this is, and this goes for almost anything in my life, not just hobbies, but when you're single or when you're dating, or even when I first got married, although you're sharing your life with your spouse or significant other, you still have like a lot of time on your own hands. You still have. I'm speaking for myself. I still had a lot of extra time. I still had a lot of selfishness, I would say, is how I would state it. So there was whatever I wanted to do is pretty much what I could do. I mean, there was times, obviously, where I would make many sacrifices where it's like, you can stay home and play Knights of the Old Republic, or you can go to Red Lobster and eat Fettuccine Alfredo with me. All right, that's not much of a sacrifice because I like Fettuccine Alfredo. And I kind of like you while we're dating.
And the cheddar biscuits. Those are amazing. Keep
exactly.
Going. Yeah.
So there wasn't, and again, this isn't to, I don't want any of the listeners now that don't have kids or aren't married, they're like, what a jackass. He's just saying that we don't have any responsibility. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's how I viewed my life. Like back then, stuff that wasn't really a big deal was a big deal, and I thought my life was busy, but I really wasn't. I had a lot of free time to play games, to play basketball, do whatever I wanted to do. When we first had our daughter, Emily, I was responsible for the night shifts. We didn't breastfeed. We did everything out of a bottle. So we, as if I was going to try. But we
Thanks
did everything
clarifying.
Out of yeah. I mean, you can milk anything with nipples. So I
can
I
you
was
milk
doing...
me, Greg?
Yes, absolutely. So basically, I was the one in charge of taking care of Emily when she was young, and that was a huge change for me.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
The first kid is always a huge, like, holy crap. I mean, obviously, yeah. You're overwhelmed with love for this person that you barely know, but it's and you want to take care of them. But at the same time, you have to. You're almost forced, unless you're just a terrible person. And yes, I will call you a terrible person if you don't take care of your children.
That's fair.
But you are forced to give up your selfishness. There is no choice. Like, I can't go, okay, Emily's crying because she's hungry or she's crapped herself, or I can keep playing Borderlands. I'll play Borderlands.
Yeah.
Like, there's
no
choice.
That doesn't exist anymore. Yeah.
Like, I have to get up and I have to take care of it. I have to do what I have to do. And Emily was a very difficult baby, and it wasn't all her fault. It was also our fault because we were actually not feeding our daughter enough. We thought we were feeding her the appropriate amount, and we weren't. So she was constantly crying. And so that was a huge struggle for me, and that was a huge sacrifice, too. But it was all part of, like, I would say, becoming a man, becoming grown up and accepting responsibilities.
Yeah.
And so the point in sharing that long, boring story, and yes, I will get yelled at by Frank for that.
No, that wasn't long and boring. He'll let you slide on this one.
No, he won't. I will get a tweet telling me I'm a piece of crap. But story boring.
Bad segment.
Bad show, cut it. Frank, we love you.
We do love you, Frank, totally.
Yeah. But anyway, so the point of me sharing that is it was a huge shock to go from basically do whatever you want to my entire life has changed. Now I have a responsibility for a child. Plus, I already had little minor changes being married. So when you add that all up, it eventually, the shock wears off and it becomes normal life.
Right.
So for me, normal life, like I'll talk to people at work. Like there's this older lady I work with who's not married. And she's telling me how exhausted she is. And I'm like, yeah, I'm exhausted too. And so she tells me, yeah, I was so tired. I got home from work and I took an hour and a half nap. And then I woke up and I watched TV and then I went to bed. And I'm like, oh, whoa, hold on, whoa. You know, I didn't say anything to her.
In between all that sleeping, I had to eat something.
Exactly. I was like, oh, okay, so that's why you're tired today is because you got too much sleep. Okay. In my normal life, and this isn't to play victim or act like I have such a busy life, but it's just what it is. I go to work 9 hours a day, sometimes a little more. I then come home for literally, and I'm not exaggerating, 5 minutes. I stuff my face. I run out the door with 1, 2, 3. Sometimes we get lucky and we can all go as a family to one place. But normally, my wife and I are going in two different directions. You know, she might take Emily to softball while I've got Ian go into basketball and Eli at soccer. And generally, the boys are at the same place, just doing two different things. So I normally do that.
Well, that's nice.
So those things become normal.
Right.
And they're no longer sacrifices, but they do take away from, like you were saying, my hobby. They interrupt my hobby because I don't get to come home and do whatever I want. And then normally I get home and try to get the kids to settle down, get them in bed. I will log on. This is where I get in trouble. I'll log on and start playing Rocket League while they're up. And my wife will come out and she'll give me that look like, WTF. Why are you on Rocket League when Elijah's walking around the house naked? And I'm like, because I told him to put his clothes on and go to bed, and he's 7 years old. He can do it on his own. And then she'll look at me and go, no, he can't. He can, but he won't. It's your job. Get off Rocket League. And I'm like, but there's no pause button.
And then that's when parenting interrupts gaming.
Exactly. So, yes, very long story, but you get my point. Point is, you know, when things were more about myself, there were no interruptions, and those interruptions were minor or stupid. Now, these so-called interruptions, they're just life. They're not interruptions. They're just my life. Video games come third, fourth, fifth, or something on my list, even though they're really first in my heart.
Yeah. No, and I think you described it really well with talking about the firstborn, having that first kid. I mean, it's like, you're learning. It's like the tutorial part of life where you're like, okay, this is how to take care of a baby. This is how you soothe them. This is how you feed them. This is how you dress them. This is how you change a diaper.
Yeah.
All those things in between. And then as they get older, this is how you need to spend quality time with them. This is what a child is not looking for. Now the kids are getting older. Your kids are starting to get into that middle school, preteen range. And so these things are happening, and you have to learn as you go. And I mean, not to make a really, I don't want to make too many silly game metaphors, but all of us have had to learn something on the fly, whether it's at work, maybe it isn't a video game, maybe it is something in life where a life situation changes with a spouse or with a parent or with a kid, and you have to learn to adjust. I mean, you hear about people that have these horrible injuries or somehow get handicapped, and they have to learn life in a wheelchair. They have to learn life without being able to see anymore, or whatever it might be. Like you have to adjust. And it's the same thing on a much more joy-filled level as a parent, because you're not adjusting to a tragedy in this particular case. You're adjusting to this new little awesome person in your life who also happens to be interrupting what you used to enjoy doing. So it's a really weird sensation of... you love this little person more than you thought you could love anybody. And at the same time, you're kind of like, yeah, but where did all my free time go? Where's me time? So it's a weird sensation trying to balance those two things. I know there definitely was a learning curve for me. I mean, when we had our first son, we kind of got into a rhythm of life, and I found myself being able to game pretty close to what I could already. I mean, I was already working full time, like you said, anywhere from 50, 55 hours a week. And so I was used to a schedule that allowed for a few hours of gaming every night. And when we got into a rhythm, I was able to continue that for the most part. And then we adopted our second child, and that came a little bit harder. You know, our oldest is getting a little older, needing to start going to preschool and stuff, and started to play soccer on his little teams. And then all of a sudden we got pregnant with twins. So here come two more. And then it became a lot more difficult. And now I became much more of a TV watcher than a hands-on gamer, because my hands were always full of kids.
Yeah.
I always had kids, and that's why I started binge-watching TV shows left and right. I actually stopped gaming altogether for a long time, for a little while there, where I just couldn't. There were a lot of games I couldn't play.
Well, that's because you're a filthy casual.
I'm a filthy casual. I didn't even have phone games, man. I didn't have a smartphone then. Couldn't afford that. Twins. And then I love the way that comedian Jim Gaffigan describes having a fourth or a fifth kid, where he says, imagining you're treading water and then someone hands you a baby. Like, that's kind of what it feels like when you've got that many kids already. You're balancing so much. You're just trying to keep your head above water to keep that airflow. And then someone's like, by the way, support this other little life as well. And so when we got pregnant with our fifth and final, our daughter, then of course we finally had a girl. We've got four boys and one girl, so we were thrilled to have a girl. But also, here's my description of that. We were already outnumbered,
yeah,
and we were already kind of in a crazy, stressful, but also kind of awesome setup in life. Having a fifth didn't really rock our worlds the same way that having twins did. Twins really changed everything. But all that being said, I was able to find ways to work my love of gaming, and I also do a lot of music, so my love of music, I was able to find a way to work those things in kind of in these little empty pockets of time. You know, certain evenings would open up, or maybe a certain Saturday things would open up and I'd be able to play. Whether it's someone watching the kids for us, or my wife taking some out to the store and others are napping, you start to find little pockets of playing. I'll tell you what, one of the ways that I've adjusted is I've learned to really appreciate the gaming time. And even though I do get jealous sometimes when I see someone saying like, hey, I got the weekend, I've got 40 hours of gaming ahead of me, I'm like, whoa, I might get 40 minutes if tonight's a good night, you know?
Yeah.
But so even though I do feel that little tinge of jealousy every once in a while, I also, it's hard for me not to pause and look and see, all right, I've got this really awesome family. I wouldn't trade them, of course, for anything, let alone gaming time. But I've adjusted. I've adjusted to looking at gaming as more of a hobby that I love, more than just about any other hobby. There's a few others that are pretty close, like watching football. I'm a huge football fan, you know, playing guitar and writing music. I love those things. And gaming, those are things that are still part of my life. They just have taken the appropriate place, you know, in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I actually had to make a decision, and that's how important video games have become to me as far as a hobby. I had to make a decision whether I want to not continue playing video games, put more of an emphasis on video games or TV, and I ended up cutting TV out. You'll rarely hear me talk about watching things because I rarely watch them. I mean, I watched all of Fuller House last weekend, that was not because I was like, oh, I can't wait. It was because I literally came home Friday night, and my entire family was packed up on our two couches right in front of the TV like, hey, Dad. We got pizza, and we got Fuller House.
Oh, you can't say no to that. You can't say no to that.
Yeah, so I ended up snuggling with them all night and watching Fuller House Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, I approve of that, and anyone who makes fun of you for that, they should be quiet. That's awesome.
Yeah, so we did that, but overall, my point was is I rarely watch TV. The only time I'll watch sports like football or basketball is if my teams are on, like if Michigan's playing, the Broncos are playing, then I am willing to sacrifice those 2 or 3 hours of gaming time and into my free time to watch them. Other than that, I don't really care. I don't pay attention to shows or anything like that.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, so I mean, it sounds like both of us have, in our own ways, in our own families, you know, we both have our own, especially with our wives too, you kind of have to partner together to figure out how to adjust to life. It sounds like we both adjusted in different ways. Like I can remember when I first got married, my wife was really into The Sims, or The Sims 2, I guess, specifically.
Yeah, my wife was
and we had a PC, and so she would create literally everybody, and she would create our future kids and whatever else. Like she'd have these whole towns of our entire family and all of our friends, and everyone's married and got these nice houses, and she learned the code. It's some kind of thing you put in and you type in mother load, and then you have like hundreds of thousands of dollars to use. And so she was a big Sims 2 gamer for a little while there, and that's when I knocked out games on the PS2 like Psychonauts and Final Fantasy X, and I was able to go through, and the Onimusha games, I was able to play through some of these games that maybe if in any other setting, having been a newlywed, I wouldn't have been able to play.
Yeah.
You know, and the same thing with kids. You know, having twins, I was on night duty like you were, because with twins, that's just the way it had to work. And there are plenty of times when I caught up on gaming late at night. I'm not going to sleep anyway. Might as well play a game. So, you know, you again, like I said, you find these little pockets of time and you fill it with the hobby that you deem most important. So that's really what it does. It kind of forces you, adjusting to life as a dad, forces you to trim the fat. And for some people, that extra fat that you trim off is going to be gaming. For me, it was not. For me, I trimmed off, you know, who knows, other things. Like, I don't watch as many movies, I suppose. I used to watch movie after movie after movie, so I don't watch as many movies. I do still watch some TV. But you said you cut TV out, at least a lot of TV shows that maybe you would have watched.
Yeah.
You didn't. You didn't because of, you know, you kind of have to trim things out. You have to prioritize. One of the things that I trim out usually every 24 hours, and I wish I didn't, most days, is I usually lose about an hour or two of sleep that I should be getting because I'm staying up doing one of the three hobbies that I really like. That's typically what happens too. So I do get a little less sleep. That's completely my choice. I don't have to do that, but I do.
Yeah, so. I do the same thing.
So, all right, guys, let's hear from you. Come to Fathers of the Grind Facebook group, and we'll make a couple posts about this, and we want to hear from you. How have you adjusted to life? You know, maybe you got a job. You know, when you first got a real full-time job, you finished whatever schooling you were doing, and you started working full-time. How did that change your life? Or maybe you went back to school. You know, a lot of you I've talked to have gone back, or maybe you're currently working through your degree. How did that change your life as a gamer? How does becoming a parent, if you have kids, how did that change your life as a gamer? I want to hear about how your major life changes and adjustments have forced you to adjust how you handle things. So it's not just, even though for us it's as dads and husbands, that's not the only time you have to make life adjustments. There's all sorts of different scenarios where you're going to have to say, you know what, this isn't as important as something else. So love to hear back from you guys on that. I don't know if Derek does, but I want to hear from you guys on that.
No, I don't have any interest in hearing about anything any of the viewers or listeners.
We were on the verge of this really meaningful moment, and there it goes. Bye-bye. All right, so let's shift into some game news. There were a lot of headlines that came out this week, and so we're going to do a couple things. There's a few that we are just going to talk about, regardless of which ones you want to pick. There's a few that I'll say, why don't you pick one of these? And then there's a few that I think we should both give our five words or less reaction to. So we've got several headlines. We're not going to sit and talk about all of them, but we'll talk about some of them. So let's start with the one that just got announced yesterday, and it's one of the most exciting news bits from the last week for me personally. And that is Super Nintendo games are coming to the new 3DS, to the eShop. Super Nintendo, my favorite console of all time. At least it has this, my favorite games of all time. I absolutely love this system. So I saw the announcement, and I will admit, I got real excited because I thought it meant coming to the 3DS. Turns out it's coming to the new 3DS. Guys, this is not a big deal. Still awesome. It just might give me more incentive to finally upgrade. I've been on the fence about upgrading anyway, because of Xenochronicles 3D. I've been wanting to play that.
Well, so, I thought you and I worked out a deal that for $250 I'd send you the new 3DS.
He legit offered that to me, you guys. He said, we agreed, right? $250, I'll give you, I'll sell you my, he has two new 3DSs. I'll sell you my additional new 3DS. And my counter offer, which I thought was good, was that I would mail you a sandwich from Firehouse Subs.
The one that you already
owned. Well, it's the same one, actually. It's 2.5-3 months old. I hope that's all right. I just assume that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I eat out of garbage cans. I don't really care.
So we're good at negotiating, you guys. We're getting close to a deal. It feels
we're getting close. $5 sub, $250, and I didn't even include shipping. So shipping might be an additional like $30.
Yeah, well, you got to wrap it in that gold box, you know. Pilot Wings, Super Mario World, F-Zero, they're all available as of right now.
I didn't like how maybe I'm just being a cheap butt, but I didn't like how expensive they were. I immediately logged on when I got home.
What's the pricing?
My new 3DS, and Super Mario was $8, and I've already bought that game on the Wii U. Or actually bought it on the Wii, then I paid the extra $1 to bring it to the Wii U. I'm not going to go on a rant about how, well, why doesn't Nintendo do cross-buy? Well, I mean,
it'd be nice.
It would be nice, but first of all, not every PlayStation game is cross-buy. If you buy it on the PS4, it does not automatically mean you get a Vita version.
Yeah.
Same thing with this. Like, the Wii U is their home console.
Yeah.
You're buying it to play it at home. If I buy it on the 3DS, I'm buying it for one reason. I go on trips, or maybe I'm at church and I don't want to hear the pastor talk anymore, so I'm going to zone out and I'm going
to
play
Super Mario. Or your family's using the TV. You've got a family. They like to watch TV and play games.
I was going to say that, and then I was like, but I have a Wii U. Wii U has a tablet. Oh,
yeah, yeah. The little tablet off screen. Yep, that's true. That's true. Well, I don't have a Wii U, so that's one draw for me.
You also don't have a new 3DS, so...
I don't. Well, not until you send me yours for a sandwich swap. We'll call it the sandwich swap.
Yeah.
So they're available today. I actually don't think the price point is all that ridiculous, personally. I mean, that's how much they cost on the virtual console in the past. I think that was kind of to be expected. These games are amazing. Super Mario World is the best Mario game and one of the greatest video game franchises in history. For those who already own it everywhere, awesome. You don't have to buy it. For those who want a copy of it on the go, like I might if I get one of these systems, then fine, $8 is not that much of a cost for entry for this game, in my opinion.
So they announced Mario Sunshine's coming to the 3DS? Because you said the best Mario game is now on the 3DS.
You are so confused. It's adorable. You're confused. Mario Sunshine's not even in the top. How many Mario games are there?
Probably.
It's in last place. Okay. All right. March 24th, they're putting out Super Mario Kart, Earthbound, and Donkey Kong Country. I mean, I'm seeing these games Woo-hoo! Listed. And
Donkey Kong Country, baby. That's my...
So many good games here. That's my jam. And then April 14th, they're going to roll out Link to the Past, Super Metroid, and then Donkey Kong Country 2, which is also a great game. Their lineup is already, like, jaw-dropping.
Yeah, their lineup's stacked. Yeah. So I have what I consider a funny story. So right after the Direct was done, and unfortunately, even though I was hyped to watch it, I didn't even get to watch it because the Direct came on when I was actually traveling home from work.
5 p.m. Eastern was not ideal for us.
Yeah, it didn't work out for me. But I get this alert on my Facebook app, and it says Bobby Paul has tagged me in a post. So I go and read the post, and it's basically letting me know. First of all, he's telling me I'm a piece of crap. And he wanted to also let me know that...
That's his love language. Insults are his love language.
Yes. Yeah. He was like, you're a piece of crap. And also, A Link to the Past is now coming to 3DS. Derek, you have literally no excuse. You have the game on your home console on the Wii U. You also now can buy it on the 3DS for $8. Mm-hmm, you have no excuse to have time to play this game. And I told him, my response to him was, I cannot wait to buy this game and ignore it on another system. Which, of course, he responded by calling me a bunch of names that I cannot repeat on our podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the special relationship you two have. Yeah. All right, so in addition to this news about the SNES games coming out, Japan is getting its own version of the new 3DS that I want so bad. So if I am going to upgrade, this might be the first time that I heavily consider some sort of import, because they are releasing a Super Famicom themed new 3DS. They're pricing it, from what I can tell, at about the same price as the regular systems, 21,600 yen, which is about $190. I'm assuming that's the same price as they normally cost over there.
It's $200 here, but they're actually on sale. Like, you can go to GameStop and get a brand new new 3DS for $175 right now. But that is a sale price. That's not like the actual price.
Okay, yeah, it's usually $200, I think, right?
$199. Yeah, normally it's $200.
So it's now that it's going to support these Super Nintendo, Super Famicom games, which is very exciting for people in our age bracket, I think, because that's what we grew up playing. This themed DS system looks so cool. It's got the four colors on the buttons. It even has like the power and reset button on the bottom of the system. You'll have to look at it and see. You guys go check it out. The way this Super Famicom themed new 3DS looks, it just looks really great. I love the design.
I'm looking at it now. It's okay. Have you seen the Zelda one that's exclusive to GameStop?
Yes, that one is gorgeous. Yeah, I wouldn't call this gorgeous. I think this is really cool and really neat and nostalgic. The Zelda one is artistically amazing looking. This one is more of, whoa, the feels I get just looking at this, because it looks like the old system, you know? So anyway, I'm really excited about that news. Some people try to rain on my parade by saying, yeah, but it's only on the new 3DS. I don't care. This is awesome. This is great. I've always wanted Super Nintendo games on the go. They did it a little bit with Game Boy Advance versions of some SNES games, but it just wasn't enough. You know, it wasn't what I wanted completely on that Game Boy Advance. So now here we go. I'm very excited. Now the DS had a few too, like Chrono Trigger, for example. They put that on the DS. So very exciting. Very exciting. Also part of that direct came the news that Disney Art Academy is coming out. When is that coming out here? Let's see. Did you hear about Disney Art Academy, by the way? It's coming out to 3DS.
No.
May 13th. So it's coming soon. That's why I wanted to talk about it. It's coming out in just a couple short months. And players will be able to use their artistry to capture over 80 Disney and Pixar characters with advice and lessons inspired by Disney art and Pixar animations. I wanted to highlight this for a couple reasons. Number one, for those of you who have kids, those of you who have families, I would recommend, especially if they have a 3DS, look into a game like this. I've got two kids in particular that are very inclined towards artistic everything. Like, if you give them crayons, paint, coloring pencils, whatever, they will go to town, and they love artwork. The other ones, not as much. They'd rather go and kick a soccer ball. But I have two that are very much inclined towards the arts, and this is a game that I'm not even going to hesitate to pick up for them, because they're basically learning how to draw these favorite Disney characters. So very, very cool. I recommend you guys looking in to look into it. And I also wanted to mention, and maybe this isn't a great idea, but I see games like this, and it kind of in the back of my mind, I'm like, I wonder if there's a way they could ever use the Toys to Life figures for something like this. You know, maybe not for Disney Art Academy specifically, but for these types of games that are very much not even a real, it's not a game, it's more of like a tool.
Yeah.
For this type of app, basically it's an app for your 3DS, this is a great opportunity, I would think, to use your amiibos for stuff, whether it's to unlock additional art tools or some kind of new traceable figure you can now use in the game. I don't know. To me, a Toys to Life utility on a game like this could be very simple and very cool, but I haven't heard anything. That's not an announcement. I'm just an idea off the top of my head. When I looked at this, I thought our Toys to Life discussion could apply to games like this. This would be a great way to use it, but I don't think they're gonna.
Probably not.
No. But anyway, get Disney Art Academy, you guys. It looks really neat.
That's a no, yeah. Bob.
I think it looks great. All right, guys. EA Games has come out with some really exciting announcements. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Mass Effect Andromeda has been delayed until 2017.
I mean, I don't think there's a single person that's surprised by that. Nope. I'm not going to sit here and act like I called it, because I don't even think we've even talked about Mass Effect on this show.
No, we haven't.
Even though I am a huge Mass Effect fan. But I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it probably is one of those things that we hadn't seen really much more from it, and we haven't heard a lot about it. It just seemed like one of those games that if they said, yep, it's coming out November 9th or whatever, I think we would have been surprised to see it pop up this year. You know, that we would have been surprised for it not to be delayed. So I'm with you. It's not at all surprising. But, and I was being sarcastic, that's not exciting. I don't like to see games delayed, but that means we got another 2017 game to throw on the long future calendar to be excited about. Instead, we got news about two other EA games coming. The first one's going to be a new Battlefield that's dropping this fall. Now, I am not the biggest Battlefield fan. Mm-hmm. I've played some Battlefield, I want to say it was 3. I played Battlefield 1942, and I think I played one of the Bad Companies maybe at one point. They're good games, but I always, as far as military shooters, I leaned towards Call of Duty a little bit, but they're good. They just don't get me excited in the same way that Call of Duty doesn't get me excited anymore. No. But that's coming, so Battlefield's coming, and Titanfall 2 is going to be launching during the third financial quarter this year. So Titanfall 2 is arriving. That means between September 30th and December 31st. So we've got ourselves two major shooters coming out from EA this fall.
One of them, is it definitely going to be this fall for both of them? Because I thought they said with Titanfall 2 it would come out by early 2017. Like, they set a time frame of it couldn't be any later than 2017, like early 2017.
Maybe according to
a different game.
According to CFO Blake Jorgensen, he sounds like he's a Viking. I assume he just got off a Viking ship to make this announcement. Mm. According to CFO Blake Jorgensen, both of these games are going to be coming out in the third financial quarter. And that's an interview.
So that would be the fourth quarter of 2016. Okay.
Yes. Yes. So that'd be September 30th through December 31st of 2016. That's what he's saying right now, at least.
And that, I think, was actually one of my predictions, was Titanfall 2 was going to be announced, shown at E3, and then it was going to come out late 2016.
Yep, and I think that's what we're going to see. I don't think we're going to hear much. Well, we might, but I don't think we'll hear much more about the next Titanfall game until they officially say it's called Titanfall 2, and here's the release date. So
what I was going to add is, since we're talking about Battlefield, Titanfall 2, and you mentioned Call of Duty, I think I'm at that point where I'm no longer going to buy military shooters ever again, unless they have something to offer campaign-wise. I enjoyed the Call of Duty campaigns 5 years ago. I now can't even get through their short 6-7 hour campaigns. I'll get 2 hours in and I'm like, I'm bored, stiff of this game. And I just bought Black Ops 3 this past year.
How many hours you got logged in that one?
I think you and I combined played a total of 22 minutes. So that was the best.
And most of that was loading screens.
Exactly. I mean, that was definitely the best investment. It actually makes me angry that I bought this and was hyped. I'm going to play the zombies. I'm going to play co-op with Tim. Yeah. We're going to do the 4-player co-op campaign. That was what sold me. As soon as they announced you can do a 4-player co-op campaign, I'm like, this is what I've been wanting for Call of Duty for a long time. And I got in the campaign and I was like, I'm bored. I'm just absolutely bored of this game.
Yeah.
Which is
a shame, because the production quality on those games never falters. I mean, they always look top notch. They always run really smoothly. The multiplayer, in my opinion, always has a ton of options. You can modify everything and you can upgrade. And
they just always feel unlockables. They always feel like just a shooting gallery. That's all it is. You walk from one room to the next or one area to the next. Bunch of enemies pop up, you shoot them, and then you move on. And games like Halo 5 that have co-op and stuff like that, you could say, well, that's kind of similar. But they're not. The level design is, to me, a lot smarter, a lot more intriguing, and they have a story, generally, that I care about. Plus, I hate playing games where I'm a human being that can take 50,000 bullets, whereas, you know, when you're playing as Master Chief, they explain to you why you can take all these bullets. You have a shield, you're in all armor, that type of stuff. So, a lot of these military shooters, I can't get into them anymore.
Yeah, no,
Battlefield, all of them.
I'm kind of with you there. I'm with you there, yeah.
I think I'm done. And if I buy them this fall, I'm going to plead with the listeners, because everybody knows how bad I am about pre-ordering games. Just beg me. Make me stop. Like, I don't want to pre-order these crap games.
Yeah, someone get this clip from this show and play it for Derek.
Except so then, Titanfall 2. I'll probably buy Titanfall 2.
Oh, no.
That's the exception to the rule.
And there's the addiction, folks. There it is. It's cropping up.
Titanfall
2 was kind of quasi-leaked a few days before this official interview announcement. And it's not even an official announcement for Titanfall 2, by the way. It's just the next Titanfall game, which we all assume is Titanfall 2. But GameStop, at some point, someone took a picture that they had already put out Titanfall 2 pre-order cases up on display, on the display shelf. So yeah, things always leak. We talked about that last week, too. There's always a leak somewhere that people are figuring things out.
We should talk about that sometime, if we think majority of leaks are actually leaks or if they're intentionally done.
I know, and there's rumors everywhere, and we've seen them come true. We've seen them be totally false. You got things like, you know, the tweets from that guy, I think it was Titus X or somebody, had all these very specific predictions for things like PSX. And at times, I guess in the past, he had been right. So everyone was hyped about, for example, changing your name, changing your PSN name finally is coming. And he's totally wrong. Like, his prediction was totally off. So I don't know what his source is or if that's just a guess. But and it's not just him. I'm not just calling him out. Like, that happens all the time. Certain leaks come out, turn out to be true. Other ones come out, not so much. All right, pick one of these two. Do you want to hear about the new 3DS Kirby game or the new 3DS Monster Hunter game?
Let's talk about Monster Hunter, because Kirby's stupid.
Why is Kirby stupid?
Yeah, he's just dumb. Like,
what Kirby do to you?
He's ugly. He's fat. Like, I hate fat people, and I'm fat.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's rough. Yeah. That is rough.
No, I'm just kidding. I just don't like Kirby.
The Kirby games are fun. They're always super easy, I think, but they're very fun. You know, there might be a challenging version of Kirby out there. Someone's going to call me out and say, go play this. It's not easy. They've always struck me as being pretty easy games. That doesn't mean they're bad. They're always fun, I think.
Well, it's because you're a hardcore pro gamer.
Totally. Monster Hunter MLG, baby.
#tryhard.
MLG. Monster Hunter Generations launches this summer with, get this, Fire Emblem DLC. So this is coming out this summer. And this is something they announced during the Nintendo Direct, of course. The newest entry in Capcom's action role-playing game series will feature a collaboration with Nintendo's Fire Emblem series, which is a great time to do it. Fire Emblem has never been more popular than it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
A special armor set based on Fire Emblem hero Marth will be available to download in Generations upon release. So maybe it's something very minor, sure, just aesthetic. Okay, but it's still very cool. I like seeing crossover stuff like that. So that's
well,
really
I
cool.
think it will have an impact, because I think it will have, you know, armor scores and points. So
I'm sure it's going to be pretty high level stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm kind of hoping, is that they're not giving you like, oh, here's Marth and he looks really cool and you get to wear the Marth armor, but it's really just trash. I'm hoping it's like high level good stuff.
Right. Yep. And for those of you who are curious, what does this game look like? How does it play? Check out videos of Monster Hunter X, which was a game launched last fall in Japan. And this is the localized version to that. So you're getting basically the same looking and playing game as that. It's just localized with extra additional, you know, content. And it's coming this summer.
I don't know how interested you are in Monster Hunter games, but Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate is actually on sale. I know it won't be on sale when you guys listen to it, but I think they were going to put it on sale for 48 hours after the Direct, and the Direct's only 24 hours old. So I didn't know if you were interested in it. You can go on your old 3DS XL and buy it for $20 on the eShop, which is That's actually a really good deal.
That is a good deal. So you guys, if you're listening to this now, that sale is over. So just use your Life is Strange rewind time powers and pick that game up. It's worth rewinding. It's worth the nosebleed to pick up a game on sale.
I was trying to sell it to you, but you're a hard sale.
No, I'm not. I am very interested in Monster Hunter 4, so I'm going to go have a look at that tonight and wish that the Super Nintendo games were on there too. Pick one of these. You want to hear about the new Wii U Paper Mario game? The new Wii U Star Fox game, that's kind of new details about the Star Fox game, or a Wii U game called Lost Reavers that's launching in April. Which one?
How about we talk about two of those three, but we just kind of talk about them quickly?
All right.
Let's go over the Wii U Paper Mario and the Wii U Star Fox details.
Oh, man. You play a dangerous game. I like it. Paper Mario, by the way, do you like the Paper Mario series? What was your introduction to it?
I'm not actually a big fan, but I looked at the new one, and it kind of has like a Splatoon look to it.
Totally
and
does.
And I was like, ooh, that's kind of cool.
It's called Paper Mario Color Splash. I was introduced to this non-Mario-style Mario game with Super Mario RPG.
That's back in the one I like. I just don't like the ones that came out after.
Yep, developed by Square. Was it Square Soft back then, I think?
I believe so.
Developed by Square, and just a great RPG game. It's just light enough that it doesn't feel too deep and too tough to get into, but it's got enough depth and strategy to it that RPG fans will have a lot of fun. Love that game. It still holds up, by the way, so go check out Super Mario RPG.
That one's on the Virtual Console, too.
It is, yeah. At least on the Wii. Is it on the Wii U as well?
I don't think so.
It's on the Wii, though, so go check out the Wii.
I know I bought it on the Wii. Yeah. I just don't think I've seen it pop up where I can pay $1 and have it on my U.
It's great. And you even get some unlikely some teammates that join you that you wouldn't normally expect in a Mario game. So check that one out. They also did, of course, Paper Mario and then Thousand Year Door. They did Super Paper Mario on the Wii, which was really cool. You kind of swap perspectives in a 3D, kind of like Fez, but only halfway. You kind of just flip it one time. Really, really fun series. It's very funny. They combined with Mario and Luigi's RPG series this past January for a game for the 3DS, and now they're coming back with another solo Paper Mario game called Color Splash. And so this is coming out sometime this year, so it's nice to hear another mainline Nintendo games dropping for the Wii U. And so it sees Prism Island is being drained of its color, kind of sounds like De Blob a little bit, and it's up to Paper Mario to bring color back to the island with his new paint hammer and splash paint on anything it hits. Sounds like it is inspired by not only De Blob, but more likely Splatoon, like you said earlier. In battle, you can paint special cards and then flick them to start the fight. So I think you're going to be using your gamepad quite a bit. And of course, they have screenshots. They've got a reveal trailer they showed during the Direct. So Paper Mario, looking like a lot of fun. It is kind of a very, again, kind of light RPG game. So it's turn-based. There's a lot of rhythm and timing required for the battles. But again, it's not that in-depth. You're not going to be equipping tons and tons of gear. It's pretty simple, but fun.
Did they give a release date on that?
Sometime in 2016.
Thanks, Nintendo. That's all I was saying. The best is when they're like, coming spring of 2016. We're in March. Like, that's like a month or two away. You can't give us a date?
It just said, they just announced it. This is the first time we've heard about it, and they said due out in 2016. So, you know, I would assume it's going to be a fall game, but who knows? Maybe it'll be their late summer release, and then they'll let Zelda kind of...
Oh, I can talk about fall. Zelda Wii U all day.
Who knows? All right, Lost Reavers. This is kind of, we're sneaking in a second.
No, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about Star Fox.
Oh, I thought you said Lost Reavers. No. I don't listen to you. I apologize.
I was going to say, I was absolutely going to call you out. Like, didn't even listen to me.
No, I don't. I hear about 50% of what you say, and I think I get a pretty good gist of what you're getting at most of the time.
Because it's usually just rambling and BS.
Stop calling yourself out so much. All right. Wii U's Project Guard has been re-revealed as Star Fox Guard, included with Star Fox Zero game, which is coming out... When is that coming out? April?
April 22nd.
April 22nd. That's just a few short weeks away, really. That's 5-6 weeks from now. So Nintendo has re-revealed its Wii U game Project Guard. It was first announced about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I guess. And it is now going to be called Star Fox Guard. And it's going to be included free with Star Fox Zero. So this is a kind of a new game announcement, but it's more of a new game mode, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But the player sets up 12 cameras to find and defeat enemies who are attacking from the mining site of Slippy Toad's uncle's Grippy Toad.
Grippy Toad.
The game includes about 100 stages, so it sounds like kind of a tower defense. But you can also create your own stages by editing the placements of enemies and uploading your levels online. So it's giving you a little bit of a gamer creation tool set there. I don't think it's going to be that robust based on this description, but who knows. The only way to get a physical version is by buying the packaged version of Star Fox Zero, but you can also buy it from the eShop for $14.99. So it's going to be a very much a smaller downloadable size title, but you get it for free if you're buying Star Fox Zero already.
I actually pre-ordered it today, so
there you go.
I pre-ordered it from Best Buy, and I picked up. This is why I want to talk about it. I got exciting news. I think we talked about last week. I think it was last week, maybe the week before that. We talked about our Amiibos, and you have a lot of them, and I have a lot of them.
Listen to me either. Yay. No.
I had one Amiibo like 2 weeks ago. I had Link, which I bought day one. Like as soon as they announced the Amiibo release date, I went and bought Link. And then I didn't buy another one for, what are we, we're in March? Mm-hmm. I think they've been out for over a year. So it's probably been like a year. And then I bought Marth because of Fire Emblem. And then today alone, so I've had two Amiibos for the last few weeks, I went and picked up Zelda for my new Twilight Princess, and then I picked up Falco and Star Fox. Now, the reason why I bought these three, real quick, is Best Buy had them for $10 today, each one, and then I have 20% off. So I got all three of them for $24, which is basically like almost a buy two, get one free.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
And they're all going to be used in two games that I care about. So, for instance, Zelda, if I use her during my playthrough of Twilight Princess, let's say I'm down to one heart, I'm about ready to die, and I scan her over my gamepad, I get all my hearts replenished.
Is that unlimited use for that?
I think it's once per life, so I think if I die, it restarts. Like
it's like having a fairy in a bottle, and when you die...
Exactly. Yeah. So I was really excited about that. I'm like, $8 for that? Heck yeah.
Yeah, then, that's a good deal.
And then Star Fox and Falco, I'm a big fan. Like, Star Fox games, I like them. Like, I played the heck out of 64.
Same here, yeah.
One of my... It actually is my... I'm gonna say it and
don't
then maybe
it.
Regret it later.
Don't do it.
My all-time favorite GameCube game is Star Fox Adventures. Love that game.
I will go as far as saying that I think it's underrated, but it's not amazing. But people do give it too much crap. It's better than people give it crap for. Like, I think they come down too hard on it. But yeah. I don't think it's that great. But it's better than people say,
okay.
That's for sure.
Okay, and I think your opinion is full of crap. Anybody who does not think it's great or amazing is just a terrible human being. But anyways,
wasn't there a part of you, though, that wanted like the full Dinosaur Planet game that was supposed to be, and you didn't want it tacked on as a Star Fox game? Like, didn't you want like a new IP? Dinosaur Planet was so exciting to me as I grew up reading Nintendo Power, and I was getting more and more excited for Dinosaur Planet, and then it was like, no, this is Star Fox Adventures, and I was like, oh, okay, that's cool too, I guess.
Yeah, but I love the it was like, the only thing that felt tacked on and I absolutely hated was at the very end, spoiler for a 20-year-old game, alright, maybe I went too many years there.
I was like, more like 10, maybe 15.
No, it's gotta be 15. But the boss battle is you're basically playing a Star Fox game. You jump in your jet and in your R-Wing and you battle this boss.
Just for the record, it is almost 14 years old. So yeah. Tim was right.
And it was kind of a contradiction to what the whole game was, because the entire game was like an action adventure, almost like an RPG.
With the upgrades.
You explored planets and you saw puzzles and you met interesting characters and it had cool, fun combat. I mean, it was a really, really good game.
And it was pretty.
And that's why I didn't agree with Tim at all. I agree with the fact that I think it's harshly judged, but I think it's way, way better than even he's given credit for. But anyways, so I'm a big Star Fox fan. I love the character, but the actual Star Fox, the normal series games, I enjoy them, but I'm not a big pilot fan or whatever, flying R-Wings. But I am looking forward to this one. I went ahead and got these two amiibos because they're supposed to add on to the game. I know it was announced that Star Fox is actually kind of gives you some nostalgia because you actually get your old school R-Wing and you get the old school soundtrack, I think from Star Fox 64, in the new game. So that's pretty cool.
I will say this too. The first Star Fox game that came out on the Super Nintendo and they announced it's going to have this new special FX chip. Do you remember that? And they're like, it includes the FX chip. I think it was even on the box, like the Star Fox box. It was advertising the FX chip. And it's like, whoa, what is this magical chip that they're talking about? And it did. It looked really cool. I mean, I'm not really sure what it did. As far as I was concerned, games like Donkey Kong Country already blew my mind with how cool it looked and how amazing it looked on the Super Nintendo. So, but yeah, Star Fox for the Super Nintendo was amazing. For the 64, it took it to the next level. And I really loved the big arena battles, like the dog fighting they introduced in 64.
That's what I played a lot of. Like me and my three buddies, we would...
Oh, it's great.
We would get trapped in this room and we would just sit there and play four player. You know, we'd fart a lot, we'd eat cookies, and we would just play for hours.
Yeah.
On hours.
Yep, yep. That was a really fun mode.
So I'm looking forward to Zero. I don't think I'll play it as much as 64, obviously, but I'm looking forward to it, and I now have the amiibos to add on to whatever they're going to add on for that game.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, a lot of great stuff was announced in the Nintendo Direct. So if you guys have not caught up in all that news, be sure to head over. I used everything from Gamatsu to Polygon, IGN. Just pick one of your favorites, however you like the design or writing. Head over there and catch up on all the Nintendo news. For those of you who continue to doubt Nintendo, every time they put out a Direct or make a new announcement, I kind of have that smile on my face like they still kind of get it. Like they miss the boat a lot, but sometimes I'm like, they still kind of get it. You know, the Super Nintendo games come in, the new ones they've announced, they still kind of get it. So good job, Nintendo.
Did you, and we don't, like, you don't need to read off what it is because, like you said, our listeners can go check it out themselves. But did you watch anything on Lost Reavers?
No,
Did it interest you?
Okay. It does just because it's one of those few online games that Nintendo has that I don't really see on other systems. Kind of like when Phantasy Star Online, was that a GameCube game?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that's just randomly this MMO is on, I think it was on the GameCube. I was just surprised by that. So this seems kind of random like that. Basically MMO style or co-op at least, action adventure called Lost Reavers. Yeah, looks interesting, but
it's launching real soon too. It's just a month away,
right? Yeah, so. The beta starts mid-April, and the game launches at the end of April. So, yeah.
All right,
guys, we are going to take a very quick break before we get back to news. We got a lot more coming. We have some Zelda Wii U talk. We've got a few other rumors to cover, some release dates that were announced, a few other headlines, and then we're going to talk about the games that are releasing in March, and we're going to hear from our community a little bit on that too. What games are you going to be buying? So we got some feedback there. So a lot more to cover, and we will be back in just a little bit. And we're back. Let's talk a little bit more about what's going on in the news, shall we? Pick one of these.
We shall.
Pick one of these. No Man's Sky release date and pricing details, which everyone was chatting about. No Man's Sky. Do you want to hear about the Zelda Wii U rumors and how it might relate to the NX? Or do you want to talk about the Dead Island collection potential?
You know, I was thinking about this. Yes, I can't make any answer easy. I feel like every time you give me a choice, I pick Nintendo, and I'm not even a Nintendo fanboy.
I'll pick one, you pick one. We're going to skip Dead Island. That's pretty self-explanatory. Collection is coming. Let me talk about No Man's Sky, and then you can talk about Zelda. Yeah?
Man, I'm bored.
No Man. Jeez. No Man Why, am I right?
Yeah, am I right?
No Man's Sky is launching on June 21st, and the PlayStation 4 version is getting a retail release. It's launching for the PlayStation 4 and PC on June 21st, June 22nd in Europe for our European listeners, and I know we do have a few. The final price, and here was the big kind of caveat for a lot of people, the big sticking point, it's going to be $59.99, and pre-orders are now live on the PS Store and other retailers.
Is it already live on PSN?
According to this news article, it is live. I'm going to go check it tonight, actually, because I've got, after my Hitman game, you know, return with them kind of flopping and saying, here's your money back, and then I reserved the opening intro pack. Now I've got a little bit of money sitting there in my PlayStation wallet. I might be grabbing this one. Might be grabbing the pre-order here. We'll see.
Yeah, I was going to apply a little pressure to you, like, live on the air.
Uh-oh. You don't need to. I want this one. You don't need to apply any pressure. Save that for something else.
Oh, good. So I get a free copy of this game that I...
Yeah, but if really any Sony reps ever listen, we don't game share.
We don't do that.
Game what?
Game what?
Who's Derek? All right. So it's going to ship both physically and digitally. It'll be available as limited edition, including a steel bookcase, which I'm not going to get, but it sounds cool, with a 48-page art book, comic, and downloadable content starter kit. I don't know what that means, though. And a dynamic theme, of course. I do like the themes. I like kind of switching up the theme from game to game, depending on the time of year. Yeah, I do too. The PC version will ship digitally in a 10,000-unit limit Explorer edition, which includes a digital copy of the game, cast metal ship replica, that sounds neat, and other goodies is available for pre-order at IM8Bit. So, and I got a link right here in this Gematsu article for UK visitors. So go check that out. There's a lot of cool stuff for those of you who have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
A lot of excitement with this game. There's actually a couple of things I want to talk to you about, but go ahead and get
okay. So a number of new previews went live today. Some different news outlets had a chance to have hands-on with the game, so there's a whole bunch of good stuff out there. I can't really point you in one direction or another, but feel free to go check it out. I know IGN, Kinda Funny, Push Square, PlayStation Blog, GameSpot, they all have their own little previews that they put up. Some of them are some crossover with content. Some of them are unique. But I'll tell you what, just my take on this, why I'm excited about it, is as I've already talked about Far Cry Primal, I really do enjoy a good open world game. And I think we talked, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 episodes ago about open world games. And I landed a little bit more on the side of open world can really help the narrative, whether you're creating it for yourself or whether it's part of the planned story. And so I think I lean more towards give me the open world and let me go. And I really enjoy that. So this sounds really cool. I do like the setting. I've always been a big Star Wars fan. I like the XCOM games. I've always loved Firefly and Battlestar Galactica. And so I've always been a big fan of sci-fi. And so this setting of exploring and discovering out in space, I'm really excited by it. It's a unique game. There's nothing else quite like it. There are no other games that I know of, at least not mainstream games, that are quite like it. So I want to be a part of this experience.
Quite like it in what way?
In terms of its large-scale open world and discovery and the way you can kind of interact with others but not really interact with others online. There's a certain twist to it in terms of its discovery factor and its exploration factor that I haven't really seen in many other games.
Sounds like a big space journey game, and you all know how I feel about Journey.
It sounds nothing like Journey. Oh, jeez. All right, so anyway, so I'm excited about it. I do kind of have a little bit of reservation about, you know, will I think it's going to be amazing? Right now I'm thinking it's going to be a game that I call very creative with a huge scope and is good. Like right now I feel like I'm going to think it's a good game and I'm glad I bought it. Who knows? I might end up being blown away by it or completely let down. But for right now I'm thinking this is going to be one of those games that I'm like, yeah, I'm glad I bought it. It was very good. What are you thinking about it? What are your thoughts on this? The details of the release, the price, or just the game itself?
All right, before I jump into this, like I said, I want to talk about a couple of things. And yes, we might stay on this subject for a while, so we might have to skip Zelda, which I didn't want to do. First thing, I think if you like those type of games that just put you in an open world and you kind of create your own stories, then I really think you should give Fallout 4 another shot.
I will. Don't you worry. I will.
All right. That's one thing I wanted to say.
Yeah.
That is basically what that game is. Good
call.
Yes, it has a story, but it's all about you creating your own.
Okay.
The other thing is No Man's Sky. One of the things that has been a big subject is everybody knows there's that that huge war. I mean, the whole world knows about it. Fox News knows about this, CNN, between AAA games and indie games. And so No Man's Sky kind of falls in no man's land. That was so cheesy.
That was good. But, no, it was great. Yeah, do it again.
But basically what I want to talk about is, and I thought you and I could both share our opinions on this, and I think we're not going to agree. No Man's Sky, by a lot of people, is seen as an indie game because it is being developed and made by an indie team. So one of the things I've been debating is the reason I don't like calling this game in particular an indie game is I do not believe, because if you look up the word indie, it's all about being independent, meaning you're doing everything by yourself. So this one team is doing everything to create, develop, publish this game. I believe this game is more of a AAA, almost like a Bloodborne game where, and let me finish, where you have this independent team making this game, and they are a smaller team, but as soon as the first trailer was released, I believe Sony swooped in and began funding this game. That's why this game was, what, announced a year and a half, 2 years ago?
Yeah, it's been a while.
And then we went through a really long quiet time, and they went through, even the developers, would they lose the game or something like that? Something terrible happened where they lost their entire building to a flood, and they lost a lot of the work that they did, or something like that. Somebody will, I'm sure, correct me, who's a fanboy of this stuff.
But yeah, I'm not really sure of that story, so that's all news to me if that happened.
I believe their office got flooded. Okay. I don't know if they lost any parts of the game.
That sucks.
But they lost really like that's all awful. Their equipment and stuff like that, is, I believe, the story.
Okay.
If I'm, maybe I'm thinking of another game, but I think that's the story. And then I believe Sony swooped in and is helped funding this game. So it can remain an exclusive at least for a while. So that's why I have trouble believing this is an indie game. And it was why I wanted to get your take on it. Because I believe this is a game that's really just another AAA game that's being supported by Sony. Will it come to Xbox? Maybe. I doubt it because I think Sony's got their hand in it so much. Hmm. But what's your take? Do you see this as an indie developed game because the team's so small and they originally started out independent? Or maybe they are even still independent and I'm looking into it too much? Or do you look at this as kind of like Bloodborne where From Software developed a game for Sony? And while, yes, Sony is the publisher of Bloodborne, which means they own that IP and they don't own this one, they still had a hand in funding it and supporting it and kind of getting it out there for From Software.
Now, I could be wrong about this. I think the comparison, and I understand why you're making it, but I think the comparison isn't quite there because, I could be wrong, From Software, that development team is going to be way bigger than Hello Games, who made No Man's Sky.
They are bigger, but I think what I'm trying to say is they are still independent, which they teamed up with Sony,
yeah.
And Sony now owns the IP because they, ahead of time, made this agreement, probably even before the game was even developed. Sony probably came to From Software and said, look, you made Demon Souls. We didn't jump on that as far as making it our own franchise and really going off this.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Souls became this big thing, so now we want you to make a game for us. So, they're separate, but they were working with Sony. Same thing with Hello Games. They're separate. Sony mm-hmm. doesn't own them. They are independent. They are an indie developer because they're not owned by a big, huge publisher.
Right.
But I believe for this game, I don't look at this game as an indie game. And it's also why I think the price point is $60 is because it is this huge game. They've got 15 guys on their team now. I think they got funding from Sony. I just don't see how they didn't get support financially from Sony for this. And that's why they're doing all the advertising, pushing everything for PlayStation 4. Now they have a release date for the PS4 only. They won't talk. They've been asked numerous times, are you bringing it to other platforms? And they will not answer. Because I think they legally cannot say, because, again, I'm a believer that they are in cahoots with Sony. So I was just curious on your take. We didn't have to we don't have to debate about anything. I was just wondering if you viewed this game as a AAA game, which then would make sense to you that you could easily say, yeah, it's worth $60. Or do you look at it as an indie title, how it was originally presented? Because when the first trailer came out, it was presented as if, hey, this is a little indie developer making this big game that's probably going to cost somewhere between... it didn't say this in the advertisement. I'm just saying this is where people's brains went to. Probably $20 to $40.
Right. Yeah, mine did at first, sure.
Yes. So keep a lookout for this game. Yeah. And then as things got on and it built up, and I follow this stuff, it built up. People reacted hugely to this game after the first trailer. I was actually in shock because I watched the trailer live and I was like, not interested. And I went online and all these people were like, did you see that game, No Man's Sky? And I'm like, what?
Yeah. I had a pretty big reaction to it when I saw it too. I loved everything from the art to the scope to their goals. I was very blown away by it. And then my hype level has gone up and down over time. It's been a long time coming. So my hype level has gone up and down. But in general, like I said before, I anticipate it being a very good game. Just to be clear, it is developed by Hello Games. It is being published by Hello Games. It is being distributed, of course, by, like I said earlier, IM8-Bit for PC and by Sony for PS4. Now, I couldn't break down for you the difference between publisher or distributor. Although you are right, Sony clearly has had a hand in helping to finance some
of
this.
I think publisher just means that they own it.
Right.
And I think distributor means they're basically taking on the role of a publisher and funding it for them because these 15 guys can't afford to do what they want to get accomplished.
And according to Wikipedia, they've got 13 people on staff, the two directors, a producer, a designer, 5 programmers, 2 artists, and 2 composers for the music. That is a small staff. Now, so when I think about this as indie versus AAA, I think it's an issue of semantics. Are we talking about the size of the team determines this? The price of the game determines this? How long the experience is? Does that determine it?
Well, I mean, if you go by the definition, independent means you're doing everything on your own. So it's this one team would have to be independent of all... of everything. There could be no assistance. This is just my take. I'm going by the definition. Because somebody even called me out. I'm going to call him out now. Matthew Keel. He said, Derek, indie is not an opinion. It's a definition. And so I was like, okay, touche. And I went and looked it up. And I'm like, okay, indie means independent. Which basically means you're creating something on your own. It could be your team.
Without financial support.
One team.
Right.
Exactly. Can create something on their own, which I 100% agree. These guys created this IP on their own. Mm-hmm. They are the publisher, which means they own it, but they can't afford to distribute it. So they've obviously gotten into a couple relationships with other people to support it financially, which is exactly what a Ubisoft and EA and all them do to spit out games. I mean, you look at, I use the example of Bloodborne, where, yes, Sony owns it, but the whole point was Sony went to an independent developer and said, hey, we'd like to work with you and publish and own this game. They're doing the same thing here, and that's how I look at it. I look at this game as almost like a hybrid, where it's like it's clearly independently made, but when it all comes down to, like you said, the semantics of it all, the way it's going to be pushed out to us and released, it's really a hybrid. It's a AAA slash indie game. Yeah. And I think it's pretty cool. I think it's kind of what happens to everything. I think indie is no longer becoming indie. I think a lot of these huge publishers like Microsoft, and that's kind of what I was trying to get to. I'm sorry I took so long to get to it. But what I was trying to get to is a lot of these huge publishers like Microsoft, Ubisoft, EA, Sony, they're on the lookout for all these indie, and I'm doing quotation, teams and games.
Right.
And when they see something interesting, they are approaching them because they're trying to jump on the bandwagon to get them, even if they don't own them, they're trying to get a piece.
No, they are.
Game.
And they should be. I mean, that's what they should be doing. But yeah, I'm with you.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the way I look at that is that's the same thing as if I'm in a band and I indie produce my first record, right? No, it barely sells anything because nobody knows who Derek Matthew band is. and yes, by the way, my middle name's Matthew. Derek Matthews Band.
Just nobody rolls right off the tongue. I like it.
So nobody knows who that is, but I independently made this music, and I released it on my own, my three song CDs, with low quality. And then all of a sudden, you know, Sony comes up to me and says, hey, we like your music, and we're willing to help fund you create your next album.
I think a better comparison, I want to stick with that comparison for a second before we lose it, because I do have thoughts on some of the other stuff you said. But I think a more accurate version of that, let's go with the music comparison. You wouldn't have released your album yet. Maybe you put out a preview. Maybe you put out...
Okay,
maybe
that's
put out
what I mean. Like an EP, like a three...
Or maybe it's even like 30-second clips demo of a couple of your songs. Or maybe you did a live performance and everyone loved it. And then a big company came in and helped to fund the rest of it. But the reality is, and again, this is if we're going just off definition, Hello Games is still technically an indie studio. They're not owned by anybody. They're not. Mm-hmm. They don't answer to anybody right now directly. Now, could there be other partnerships that go beyond my comprehension at this point in terms of marketing, promotion, distribution, like you saw earlier? Yes, and I think that's the case with many indie games. Everything from the PS Plus deals that are probably made that we don't know about to other games that are either promoted or not, you know, on certain stores. So I do think that if we're going just by definitions, a game developed by an independent studio is by definition an indie game. You can't really parse whether or not
then
it was supported.
That's where it kind of destroys the whole perception that indie games are small titles.
Totally agree.
Where many of these AAA games that we've gotten, they started out as independent projects that were bought up. And that was
totally
kind
of
my point.
Yeah, I can't think of any examples offhand, but I believe you that totally has happened. In this particular case, right now, Hello Games is still an independent developer made up of former devs from other teams, you know, Criterion and other places. But they are not currently owned by Sony. Sony, of course, like we talked about, doesn't own the IP. It's an indie studio that developed a game. Now, did they have some kind of, whether it was above board or not, funding from big companies like Sony? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's common knowledge. Maybe that's pretty obvious. But as far as I'm concerned, if we're going just by definition, technically it's an indie game. But I'm starting to care less and less about indie versus, are we talking about a, how do I want to describe it? Like a bigger experience or a smaller experience? We're talking about something more bite-sized, talking about something narrative. Is this an open world game? Is this a linear narrative game? I care a lot more about those definitions than I do AAA versus indie. Like,
yeah, because I think it's all been smeared.
It totally has.
Kind of
it's been blurred.
That
it's
I'm
been
trying
blurred.
To get at
yeah.
is people, and everybody knows if you listen to me for more than 2 seconds, I'll hate on indie games, but I understand what they are. It's more of a joke than anything. Because I know how people react to, oh my god, he doesn't like indie games. No, what I don't like is shit games, and most of them fall under the category of these little tiny games. Just like I don't like 99.9% of mobile games, and a lot of those mobile games are created by independent morons who go out there and release crap games.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really what I'm driving at. Now, with this game, I don't look at No Man's Sky as a small title. I never did.
No.
When the price dropped at 60, I'm not going to sit here and act like I called it. No. I thought it was going to be...
I thought 40.
At first, when it first... The first trailer came out, I looked at it as a $20 PSN game. Okay? That's what I was thinking. As more news came out, more hype came out, as I felt like Sony was getting involved more, I said, this can be no less than 40.
Yeah, I thought 40. That's
and
what I
then
thought.
And then as it kept coming out, more and more information, I was like, this is going to be a AAA $60 launch.
Yeah.
And
AAA in scope and in price, I guess you could say, but in technical definition, it is an indie game, technically.
Yeah. All right. So, I agree pretty much, I think. But I'm kind of all over the place with it because I still believe it's just basically
Well, I mean,
hybrid.
And here
I don't think anybody can say it's an indie game. I don't think anybody can say it's AAA. I think it's a hybrid. It's what this whole industry's turned into.
Well, and it's going to eventually become, there's going to be different terminology, whether it's micro game versus, I don't know, macro game or whatever. There's going to be different terms that come out that describe in better ways than indie or AAA, whether or not it's a big game or a little game or worth $60 or worth $10. There's going to be better descriptions that come because, like you said, the term indie has become blurred so much. I mean, think about a title that came out, Valiant Hearts. That great little, very artistic, very indie looking game. Looks like the kind of game you'd see come out of an indie studio and put out on Steam. That was Ubisoft. Yeah, that was Ubisoft.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then same thing with Child of Light. And these things happen more and more. And those are the only two off the top of my head, but I know they keep happening. I know EA's dipped.
And I don't know the backstory of all those games. Maybe. And I think Child of Light, I actually do know some of the backstory. I think it was the Far Cry.
It was. It's something that he wanted to do.
Far Cry do, he wanted to do. So that was obviously internal.
Right.
Which means it was never an indie.
But most people you ask would look at that, and they would put it under indie column.
Because they have the wrong definition of indie. Yeah. And all right. But anyways, I think No Man's Sky is a hybrid. I think it's worth the $60 when you look at the size and the scale.
Yeah,
of
what are
it.
You getting for your money? I think it's worth it.
Exactly. And as far as to answer some of the other things that you were talking about, to get off that subject, because I think we pretty much agree. I think what you're saying is absolutely true. But as far as my impressions of the game, like, do I care about the game? When I first saw it, no. I said that earlier. Didn't care at all. I thought it was boring looking, like something I would start playing and be like, wow, this is really stupid. There's no point to this game at all. So, no, I had no interest. Then I decided to do my own research. Like, a lot of people say, oh, there's not a lot of information on this game. There actually was a lot of information. All you had to do is listen to Sean Murray talk, and he talked a lot because he was constantly being asked for interviews.
Yep.
Because so many people were excited about this game.
Right.
And some of the early interviews that I saw after the first trailer, he started talking about how a lot of people think that this game has no point or purpose, that you're just basically going and exploring and it's this big open, you know, galaxy universe. And he's like, it absolutely is that. But there is a point. There is a purpose. There is something in this game that's drawing you to move forward. And when I heard him say that, I said, okay, interest level has risen a little bit. Mm. I was like, because now you're... It's kind of what you were talking about earlier. You're like, I like being plopped into these open world, and I just go make my own story. I personally think that's dumb. Like, I don't have any interest in that. not your opinion. Like, that type of game. Like, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me a story. I want you to give me a reason.
Well, and for context, I do prefer a good combination of the two. But if it's the right open world with the right number of things that I can do on my own that I actually enjoy doing, and I like the way the game feels, the game plays, then I'm much more open to the idea of, yeah, just let me loose in this world. Although in general, I do prefer to have a running through line story as well. So I like a combination of the two, just to be clear.
Gotta be difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, and I'm not completely against being dropped into a world. Like I said, Fallout 4, I am playing it for the main quest. I do find so far the quest to be intriguing, but there is so much more to that game than just a 10-15 hour main quest.
Mm-hmm.
There is a full fleshed out world. That's one of the things I do respect and love about Fallout. I can crap all over the fact that I think the characters are ugly. I think the voice acting is average at best. I think the lip syncing is god awful.
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah, that was first thing that jumped out at me.
Yeah, it's a turn off because you're like, I don't even want to hear you talk.
Right.
But I, those are some of the things I can crap on. But then there's so much more. There's I can walk into any building, and I have access to everything in that building. And that building can have 20 levels, 20 stories, 20 areas. Per story. I mean, there's just so much to the game. It's not like they create these invisible walls or these stupid out-of-place areas that block you off from going somewhere. They're like, no, we're going to create a building. You can fully explore this building. We're going to create a cave. You can go anywhere in the cave. And you can look at anything. You can pick up anything. You can keep whatever you want. So there is so much that they do that I do like that is it falls into that kind of just plop me in this world and let me do what I want. But at the same time, I like my games to have, and it's probably almost anti what anybody who's excited for No Man's Sky is, I like when I go into a menu and it says main quest, side quest, blah, blah, blah. Like, I like to have a purpose. I like to have a point. I like to have an ability to stay on track instead of always, well, I'm just kind of wondering.
Well, and so, it remains to be seen if there's a story with No Man's Sky at all, number one. But also, it's possible that, just like in my opinion, the better open world games, there will be stories within the open world that might have a nice, solid beginning, middle, and end that doesn't carry you for 40 hours or even 10 hours, maybe even. Maybe it's just a few quests. But when done correctly, those open world side stories, mini stories that just continue to build a nice foundation of the world, or in this case, universe that you're in, helps it to come alive, helps it to feel real. And so it's possible that when we describe story, we're also just describing world building in general. And part of that is characters and narrative. And it's possible, I have no idea if they're going to, but it's possible that No Man's Sky will include some aspects of that.
I think it will. I think in one, and I could be wrong, and again, call me out, all my listeners. No Man's Sky, I believe, has an antagonist. I think he said that. I swear Sean Murray said it in an interview.
I'm not sure.
He said, I think when he talked about like there being a point there and being a purpose, that there was going to be an antagonist.
Okay.
But it's not going to be like what you are used to in most games. So yeah. I could be wrong on that. I think that was one of the things I read that made me go, okay, my interest. So to answer your question, I know it took forever. I really do apologize for talking way too much about this, but I'm very passionate about No Man's Sky because there's a lot of people that are really excited about it, and I'm more, but I think at this point, I'm excited you're pre-ordering it because I know I'll play it or at least give it an honest shot,
yeah.
But I don't think it's I know it's not one of those games that I'm like, oh, it's on PSN, I'm going to pre-order
yeah.
it. Like,
yeah.
I've been pre-ordering a lot of games, and I have no interest in pre-ordering.
Well, here's how I hear what you're saying. If I had to sum it up, I'd say that it's a game that you really want to like. You're just not convinced you're going to. And so you're kind of like, hey, I'm open to you trying to convince me, if you're talking to the game. No Man's Sky, Hello Games. Go ahead and convince me that this is a great game. Right now I'm not sold. And so, yeah, that's kind of what I'm hearing from you in terms of this one.
Tim, I am proud to say that you actually listened to
me.
Because that's exactly what I was saying.
I did. I focused.
Sorry, listeners. I was all over the place. But I was trying to get out. Like, I had a bunch of conversations with some good guys. Matthew Keel, Matt Phillips. I don't know if Matt Phillips even listens to our show because he hates me.
But I know both of them are psyched for this game.
They're really excited about this game. And mm-hmm. they, in general, love indie-developed, published games. Whereas I'm more anti those, and so we clash a lot in our tastes.
Do you know why that is? And let me just give you my opinion on why that is. Why, and I like them too. Why people like indie games?
Mm-hmm.
One of the big reasons. There's lots of reasons. One of the big reasons people like indie games is because it feels much more like an artist communicating directly to you. So when you've got a big old game that had hundreds of people, like Assassin's Creed, for example, Assassin's Creed Syndicate. I really liked that game. I mean, my top list, I think top five maybe this past year, maybe even top three. I forget now.
Top three.
It's a great game, and so many people had a part in that. Everything from the writing to the world building to the combat.
Yeah, they have multiple teams that work on
that. I mean, yeah, massive, massive, massive. And so one of the things that keeps that from feeling like this individual expression that I am now experiencing and getting the artist take on it is because not only do I know that it was created that way, but you can just tell. It feels like a big budget movie versus a small little Garden State type movie. Like it feels bigger and it feels bombastic and great and huge and explosive and wonderful, as opposed to playing something like Titan Souls or playing something like Fez. These were like, even though they're not games for everyone and the graphics don't do it for everybody, this is an individual's expression in what is very artistic, in my opinion, when I'm playing these games. And so that's one of the draws of an indie game, is that you're not bound by any limitations of a larger publisher, larger company saying, do this, don't do this, you need to include this, you can't. There's no way you can say that. So there's no limitations there, but there are limitations financially, which is why most of them come out with very low-res graphics. They have to go old school because they can't afford the new school engines and programming and development. You know, there's a compensation there in saying, hey, we're going to do a retro-style 2D platformer.
Basically, what you're saying is with indie, there's no limitations. You just do what you want, as long as you can actually succeed in doing it technically. Whereas AAA games have basically a script laid out that they have to follow. And if they don't hit those certain points,
but they execute it.
or if they go outside of it, it screws up.
Right, and they execute it with pretty much all the money they could want, all the technology they could want, but they have to make sure the end product hits these certain key points.
And so I would say my taste is more, I like that scripted stuff. I like, maybe it's the norm or whatever they like to say, but it's what I like. Whereas indie games, I don't look at it as sentimental as you. I'm not going to speak for you. As you came across where you're like, I'm playing somebody's art, I'm playing somebody's emotions or whatever, their passions. I don't look at it like that. I'm like, I'm playing somebody's crap. I don't like this. You know, this is stupid. I'd rather thousands of individuals who are, you know, almost like robots just putting out a game that I demand.
Like, compare it to like a movie. If you think about, like, there's two westerns that I really like, and for very different reasons. One is Tombstone. Great, it's a very, very mainstream, very fun, great characters. Probably Val Kilmer's best role. Kurt Russell's great in it. Great movie. Love it. And Sam Elliott has the coolest cowboy voice ever. I love that movie. There's another western. There's actually several that fall in this category, but one that comes to mind is called The Proposition. It's got Guy Pearce and I want to say Danny Houston, I think, isn't it? Maybe even Ray Winstone. Super dark and super slow moving, maybe even some people call it depressing western set in Australia, and it doesn't have the big bombastic scenes. It doesn't have these crazy cool lines like I'm your Huckleberry, and you know, it doesn't say like there's two of you, I got a gun for each of you. You know, it doesn't have those really funny, cool, clever lines that, you know, make the crowd start cheering and the big moments. It's a very depressing, dark, gritty, realistic type of a movie, but it is very artistic, and I can equally enjoy that in the same way that I equally enjoy Tombstone. I just enjoy them in different ways. Like, my mind almost has like a switch that goes to just kind of fun, over the top, you know, created by a lot of people and, you know, big budget, or smaller, very, it's telling a message. It's got something a little more clear cut. It's got a little bit more of an artistic touch to it that I like, but I don't always want that. Sometimes I want the, you know, the big Tombstone type movie. So or Young Guns, you know, think of Young Guns with remember that one with Charlie Sheen back in the day, Emilio Estevez?
I don't think I was allowed to watch it because it was rated R.
Yeah, well, I didn't have any rules growing up. So anyway,
that's why you're trash.
I just as a little comparison there, same thing with movies, same thing with music. There's a certain level of enjoyment to be had with each level, and I think, and I would hate to see, you know, those lines get blurred so much that we no longer have the smaller independent artist who does whatever he or she wants without any limitations except for the financial ones, and vice versa. I also want the big packaged, just ready to go, out of the box blockbuster games too. Like, I want both.
I also, even like I said, even though I'll say those statements about indie type developed game or style games that we talk about, I still want all of it. I want all of them to succeed. And like we said, we'll move on from No Man's Sky. I am not a hater of No Man's Sky. I'm not hyped for it, but I think I could like it. And so I'm kind of open to it. I'm just happier
With that approach, it might be one of your surprise games of the year then, if you have that kind of mindset.
And if it is, I'll go and support Sean Murray and his team, and I will go buy it. That's what I'll do.
All right, give me five words or less reaction to these headlines. Number one, the next Forza game will be announced at E3.
Okay.
You don't even need five words for that one. Uncharted 4 was delayed 2 additional weeks, will now release on May 10th.
Ridiculous.
My reaction to that is basically, I don't care. That's fine. 2 more weeks. I mean, it's annoying. I think you described it as annoying, and I agree it is annoying, but I also don't really care. I mean, now I have a game in May to look forward to, because I've got a game every other
day. I had requested April 25th and 26th off, and then I changed. I was like, oh no, I just need to take the one day off, because I was going to make it a 4-day weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I'll just take April 26th off. So I put that in, and then they announced this, and I was like, okay, well, I haven't been approved for April 26th yet, so I'll quickly change it to May 10th. And today, so I just changed it to May 10th, I think yesterday or the day before. Today I just got an email saying May 10th was approved, and I was like, thank God.
Yeah,
like,
see?
I just it changed it out. Just in time. Because I would have been furious if I had gotten approved for April 26th.
All right, five words or less. Pokemon Sun and Moon have been officially confirmed for the 3DS coming this holiday.
Oh, Poke-a-poo. Nobody cares.
My reaction is, can't wait to play it. No Disney Infinity 4.0 is coming this year for the first time in, I think, 3 years. But support for 3.0 will continue. What's your reaction to no Disney Infinity 4.0 in 2016?
I think it's a smart move. They're going to keep pushing Star Wars and the Avengers and stuff like that. I think it's a smart move.
I think that's 37 words. That's not bad. You got close to five. That's pretty good.
Crap.
All right, hey, it is now March. We are in the month of March, and I think that you and I should do our listeners a service by talking about the games that are coming out this month, and more importantly, telling them the games they should care about, because our opinions are pretty awesome.
Yeah, so, I can tell a lot of people agree with me.
So let's look at the games that are coming out in the month of March. Now, we are a few days in already, and by the time this releases, we will have just about seen the release of one of the biggest games of the month. But we'll go back and start on March 1st anyway, just to make sure we cover everything. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to read through the list of games that I have on my this list off of Wikipedia that are coming out in March. If I miss something, go ahead and interject and say, what about this one? And what I want to do is I'm just going to read them, tell you the systems, and then unless you or I have something to say about it, we're just going to keep moving on through the list. So feel free to just, you know, interrupt. You don't usually interrupt, but this time you're welcome to do that. All right.
I'm going to interrupt you.
All right, here we go. March 1st, Alec Hines Gun, PS4 and Xbox One. Broforce, PS4. It's free on PS Plus, people. Go get it. Deponia Doomsday, PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Far Cry Primal on Windows, who cares? Gears of War Ultimate Edition, also on Windows. Heavy Rain, out on PS4.
I'm excited about that.
I have never played it, so I need to. I'm looking forward to that. That was my.
I think we should talk about that a little bit. I mean, we won't talk about it too long, but I did purchase that. I played it a couple times on the PS3, and it's one of my favorite PS3 games. So
I've heard there's some feels involved with this game. It's pretty emotional.
Mysteries, and that's what it is. And okay. I know a lot of people will be like, but there's holes in the game. I didn't pay attention to any holes. Yeah. I thought it was really well done. Great mystery. So if you like mysteries, you'll love this game.
Now, could you, before we move on to the next game, could you go ahead and drop the biggest possible spoiler for this game?
Well, I think the
I can't believe you were actually going to do that. Wow, that's
cold. Yes, the plot twist is that there is no rain.
That is the rain is light, actually. That's the plot twist. It doesn't weigh anything.
There is no rain in the game.
All right.
It's all a lie.
3DS game, Return to Popolo Kreuz, A Story of Seasons Fairy Tale. Okay.
Who cares?
The Witch and the 100 Night Revival Edition for PS4. Tron Runner for Xbox One. X-Blade Code Embryo, for PC. Blaze Blue Chrono Phantasma Extend for PC. Black Desert Online for PC. Action Hank for PS4 and Xbox One. I believe it's 30% off for PS4. Into the Stars for PC. Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess HD for the Wii U. Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Mind Zero for PC. Shard Light for PC. Tom Clancy's The Division, which we are going to talk about, so no need to jump in there just yet. That comes out on March 8th. Tom Clancy's The Division comes out on March 8th for Windows, PC, for PS4, and for Xbox One. The Guest comes out on March 10th for PC. Hitman comes out on March 11th, the intro pack, so that opening episode or mission, however they're dividing it up.
I thought it was the load screen.
The loading screen, yeah. Well, just kind of like the Zelda games you play. The loading screen, or the intro screen will sit there.
$15, I paid $60. Winning!
That comes out on PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Ori and the Blind Forest Definitive Edition drops on the PC and Xbox One on the 11th. And then
I do have a question about that one, and maybe you don't know the answer.
Probably not.
So, Ori and the Blind Forest has come out.
Yeah.
I don't know of any DLC that's coming out. So is the DLC releasing on March 11th? Because I don't know of anything else.
That is a good...
So why would you have a definitive edition? What's so
question.
Definitive
Let's
about
see if
it?
I can find something here. By the way, have you played Ori since we talked about it last?
Nope.
Why not?
I'm not going to ever go back to that game.
Why not?
I might YouTube the story, because I heard a lot of y'all talking about the story and how good it is and all the feels, and I'm like, oh, I wish I could have beat that game, but I'm just not good enough.
All right, so let's see. It's not just an overhaul in graphics, so that I guess that implies there is going to be some improved graphics, which is weird because the art is nearly perfect in that game.
Yeah, I don't even know how you...
They've gone back to retweak some areas that raised objections, like environmental damage.
Oh. Ooh, maybe I will go back.
It sounds like they're making it easier.
Do they have super easy-ass
They're adding
you
baby
just
mode.
Through the whole thing?
Yeah. Environment damage, lack of fast travel. So I guess they're going to implement fast travel? Huh? The spirit wells, which acted as save points in the original game, will now be fast travel. Holy crap, that's awesome. That's amazing, because the backtracking was killer. That's why I didn't even try to knock out some of those extra achievements after the game was over. It will add a dash feature to help the character travel faster, help Ori travel faster. New areas, secrets, collectibles. So it sounds like there's a ton of stuff they're adding. They're making the game a little more streamlined.
But there's no, like, DLC. It's just improvements?
Improvements, and they're adding new areas, secrets, and collectibles.
All right.
So they're adding some... It's almost like its own DLC.
I wonder if you'll probably get, like, a cheaper upgrade price. Like, if let's say the Definitive Edition's $20... Maybe they'll charge you $5 or $10 to upgrade.
Players who own the this is off Polygon. Players who own the current Steam and Xbox One versions of Ori will be able to upgrade, though Moon and Microsoft are not talking pricing yet. So there you go.
Yeah, so it's probably $5-$10.
There you go. It's basically DLC. All right. I wish I would have known that. We could have knocked this out way sooner. All right. EA Sports UFC 2 drops on March 15th. Need for Speed for PC drops on March 15th. Dungeon of the Endless comes out on Xbox One on March 16th. March 18th, we'll see two Nintendo games drop. For the 3DS, you'll see Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games. Wow, I forgot the Olympics are this year. Cool.
Nice.
And Pokken Tournament comes out for the Wii U on March 18th as well.
Are you interested? I know you don't have a Wii U, but would you be interested in a game like that where it's Tekken and Pokemon combined?
I'm curious to maybe see some videos of it. No, not without hearing that it's amazing and I have to play it. Not without that. So no,
I like Tekken. I just don't like Pokemon. All right, go ahead.
Republic comes out on March 22nd. I'm very interested in that. That comes.
I am also interested in that.
Yeah, it's one of the cooler looking mobile games that I've always wanted to try. And I believe that's the date of the final episode. I think there were episodic releases for that game. And so now you can get the complete package for your PS4 or PC in addition to your mobile devices.
I'll let you buy it and... I'm not game sharing. I'll somehow magically be able to play it when you buy it.
Yeah, that's how it works. Stranger of Sword City comes out for PS Vita and Xbox One on March 22nd, and Trackmania Turbo will drop for PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
I'm really excited about that.
On the 22nd. Alien Nation for PS4 on the 23rd of March.
Nobody cares.
Dead or Alive Extreme 3 will come to PS4 and PS Vita on the 24th of March, in addition to Samorost 3, and Slain for PC. Those two games come out on the 24th as well. Getting into the last week of March, Hyrule Warriors Legends comes out for 3DS.
I'll get that.
Adrift, Chronos, Edge of Nowhere, and Eve Valkyrie are all coming out for the Oculus Rift on March 28th when that device releases. Real quick question. I think we'll probably do VR discussion later once more stuff releases and we can really talk about it. Right now, are you planning... anytime in the near future to get any VR device, just out of curiosity?
Well, I think we talked about it in a past episode. I was really interested in PlayStation VR. In fact, I went and traded a bunch of stuff in at GameStop to basically put credit aside to either get the PlayStation VR if it was released in the summer, or get the NX if it's released in the fall, like whatever came first. Right now, it's looking like PlayStation VR is coming out in the fall, maybe with when the NX releases as
maybe,
well.
Yeah,
those are terrible timing in my opinion for me. And after listening to PlayStation I Love You, their last episode, both Colin and Greg, who made it sound like they already know the price but couldn't say it, basically said they were way off and that they think this is going to be around $500 to $600, but they kept saying $500. So, no.
So yes or no? No. Okay, you're on the no. I'm in the no camp right now. Not trying to take a dump on the VR stuff. If you're excited about it, then be excited about it. I just personally am not there yet. So
if NX doesn't release and VR is the only thing that comes out, and they release some interesting games,
Yeah.
And it's 500 and I have half of it in credit, yes, I'll do it.
No, I'd sooner upgrade my 3DS or perhaps finish out my console collection from this generation, get a Wii U. There's things I'd much rather spend my money on. Even get a new TV before I do.
No reason to update your 3DS. I already sold it to you.
That's true. Here comes your sandwich. All right, on March 29th, Killer Instinct Season 3 launches with some new stuff with the PC and Xbox One.
Bumped.
MLB 16 The Show comes out on PS3 and PS4. Knights of Azure comes out on PS4 on the 29th. All right, and then Star Ocean, Integrity and Faithlessness comes out on the PS4. That's quite the title, Integrity and Faithlessness. That comes out on March 31st. That's kind of interesting.
Has that locked in? Because their dates of release has just been all over the place to the point where I lost track of the game.
I'm not sure. Take that with a grain of salt, people. This is, as Michael Scott from The Office would say, it's Wikipedia. So anyone from anywhere can add any information, so you know you're getting it from the best source. So it's very possible that some of these dates weren't 100% accurate, but for the most part, the big ones are, and should give you an idea of what's coming out this month, or maybe is already out this month. So, Derek, let's hear from the community really quickly before we talk about a certain game that's dropping this Tuesday. Let's hear from the community a little bit, and here's a chance for us to do some name dropping. So if you've made it this far in the episode, first of all, I want to say congratulations, and God bless you. And here are some of the games that our community are they're planning on getting, or at least trying, this month. Alan Heinen is going to get The Division. And by the way, Alan, another great active member of the group. It's nice having him around. And Rudy Regalado is going to be getting Zelda and Pokken Tournament. So we'll have to ask him what he thinks about that Pokken Tournament crossover.
And I want to know why the heck he would pick Pokken Tournament over The Division. I'm disappointed in you, Rudy, but go on.
Yeah. Sorry, Rudy. We have a member of our group named Gunblade Hero. Is that correct? Gunblade Hero. Yeah, that's amazing. That's really cool that the parents at one point in life were like, let's name our kid Gunblade.
Yeah, it's totally his real name.
It's his given name, yeah. Gunblade Hero. Well, I mean, if your last name is Hero, you can't name him something else. You can't name him, like, John, you know?
John Hero.
He's getting Hyrule Warriors. Philip Stella is getting The Division for the Xbox One and MLB 16 for PS4. Jose, who got a shout-out earlier in the show, is getting The Division. Our friend Moose Cluel, or Brian Cluel, sorry, that's your real name. I gave it away. Moose is getting Heavy Rain and The Division. I think he already bought Heavy Rain. Dan Phillips is getting The Division and Zelda, which I think arrived today for him from Amazon. He was nervous about the arrival, but I think it came for him today.
It did show up. Got it.
Austin Clements is getting The Division, MLB The Show, and maybe UFC 2, maybe Hitman. He's kind of holding out to see on those two, but definitely Division and MLB. Charles Carroll is getting The Division, and he's very hyped for baseball season getting ready to start, and he's getting MLB, so he's pumped for that. I wish I could be excited about baseball. I really do, but I'm not.
I really put a lot of time in the MLB 14. I just played the My Player part of it.
Yeah.
And I probably put 40 hours into it, just doing the same thing over and over. And then
similar to Madden at all, and like it kind of has RPG elements, stat building elements?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, every game that you play, you get points, and those points can be then used to upgrade your player. And so I played a lot in 2014, or for the show 14, and then I bought 15 on day one, and literally, not exaggerating, put 30 minutes into it, and I was like, it's the same thing I did for 40 hours.
You trade it in?
I can't do it. Yeah. I took like a $7 loss or whatever, but whatever.
Yeah. Thomas James Jaredis, sorry if I butchered your name. He's getting The Division. He's going to be getting the Fire Emblem DLC in Revelation and maybe Hitman, he says. Sebastian Douglas is getting The Division. David Plumley is getting MLB, Heavy Rain, and Beyond Bundle. James Flaherty is getting nothing, but he would have gotten Zelda if his Wii U hadn't crapped out. So let's all take a moment of silence for James's Wii U.
Or applaud if you know James and you want to be a jackass. Oh,
so rude. So rude. Nate Bacon is getting Hitman, but I think he even kind of said maybe. I'm not sure if the beta sold him or if he's kind of hesitant now, but he does like Hitman. I know that. And then
he's not getting The Division.
And then James Tagui is getting The Division.
Yes, I will be teaming up with my prick brother. I'm playing The Division on the PS4, so it's pretty
anyone tuning in for the first time is like, wow, he's mean to his brother. All right, so let's talk about The Division. That's how we're going to close out our show here. I want to finish with some Division talk. It's clearly the most hyped game in most groups, not just ours. People are talking about it. People played the beta, the open beta. Everyone's excited. The Division is coming. The Division is coming. It's going to replace Destiny. It's coming. We're excited. So, Derek, I'm going to ask you a few questions. You are more of the Division expert than I am, because I only played the beta for a total of, I don't know, 41 minutes or something like that. And I haven't read about it nearly as much as you have. So let's talk about The Division. First of all, they did just announce that free content will be coming on a regular basis alongside paid expansions. So the developer confirmed that just this week. Even if people already knew that, they reconfirmed it, or maybe they announced additional free content. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But that's really cool. It releases on March 8th, which is just in a couple of days. So, Derek, break it down for us. First question for you. The Division, what's the gameplay like?
Well, it's a third-person... I was going to say shooter, but you really have to put RPG before shooter. So it's a third-person RPG slash shooter. It's real heavy on the RPG, real heavy on co-op, team play. Although, very important that everybody understands that you can play it solo. But it's cover-based. You can basically upgrade everything. I mean, the guns are upgradable, your armor's upgradable, everything's upgradable. So it's a really solid game as far as gameplay. I really enjoy third-person games. I love cover-based games. So it's up my alley for sure.
All right, so now tell me, is there a story with The Division?
There is. How good it is, we won't know until we play it, because Destiny was also kind of advertised as this huge universe with this epic story.
Yeah, it was.
And
it was.
While I didn't get upset that it didn't have a epic story, and I don't think I'll get upset if The Division doesn't either, but apparently The Division is supposed to have a story that you would care about, that's different than something that we've seen from Destiny.
All right.
But I would warn our 2.6534 listeners.
At least the ones that made it this far in the show.
Yes, I would warn them to, you know, don't go into it expecting this Mass Effect, Dragon Age, Bioshock story, plot twist. I would expect a simplistic story, something that they can keep branching off and off and off and off and on with, because they want to keep selling you DLC, so...
All right, so will solo players enjoy themselves, or would you say it's mainly geared towards co-op and multiplayer?
I mean, if you're a loner, I think you can have fun with it. I did play the beta by myself at times, but for me, even though I generally like playing my games by myself, I have gotten to the point where maybe it's just I'm meeting a lot of cool people, including Tim. Yeah, that's the one nice thing I'll say about it. I enjoy playing my games, yeah. I enjoy playing my games co-op more now, and this game is most definitely geared to co-op. They really want you to...
Okay, so you can play it solo, kind of like Destiny, but...
Yeah, you can play Destiny by yourself, you can play The Division by yourself, but I'll tell you what, as a person who's put over 250 hours into Destiny, and probably 200 of those hours were by myself, Destiny was definitely pushing you to play with other people.
Yeah.
And so agreed. I have a feeling agreed. The Division will probably do the same thing. Okay. Destiny was such a hard game to upgrade just if you were playing by yourself, just because a lot of the things they asked you to do were very, very difficult to do by yourself. That gave you the good loot.
Okay. And as far as like the visuals, graphics, frame rate, all that kind of stuff, are you feeling pretty good about it based on what you've seen and what you've played? Do you feel like it's on par with current releases? Is it a little bit behind the times? Is it ahead of things? Visually, what are your thoughts?
Thought it was a really good-looking game in the beta. Hopefully, maybe it'll be a little bit better on full release. Maybe mm-hmm. they were holding back a little bit just because they wanted to give us a little surprise when we actually have the game. But overall, I didn't think it was a bad-looking game. I thought it was a good-looking game.
Okay.
nice detail to the world. I have seen people complain about how ugly it was because they're comparing it to the trailer, and I'm like, these aren't like new gamers either.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call out the one person that I saw say it. I'm like, dude, you're a hardcore gamer. You play a lot of games, and you're talking about how this game doesn't look like a trailer you saw a year and a half ago at E3?
Yeah.
Come on.
We all remember Killzone. We all remember Watch Dogs.
Yeah, it's still very close. Like, even Watch Dogs, while it didn't look like how it was advertised, it was still a good-looking game on its own. The same thing with The Division. It's a good-looking game. I have no issues with the way it looks. Would I like it to be a little bit prettier? Sure. Yeah. But if Ubisoft came up to me and said, look, Derek, we can make this game look exactly like the trailer, but it's going to run at 20 to 25 frames per second or all over the place, or we can lock it in on a certain amount of frames per second where it's smooth.
Oh, yeah. And it's, choice is easy there.
Yeah, I'm going to go with gameplay. Yeah, I'm going to totally go with the smoothness of the game.
Totally. So. Well, and sometimes when people say that, like, oh, it looks like a PS3 game or whatever, you know, like some old system game, and that's based on a screenshot or a video. I've heard that said about even like Far Cry Primal, for example, and other recent releases, and then I play them, and I'm like, you are crazy. This game is gorgeous. So
yeah.
All right, so let's wrap this up here. let's wrap this up real quick. Let's give our prediction of what we think the Metacritic score will land on. Let's say, I don't know, like a week after release, you think? We can revisit this and take a look?
Yeah, I know nobody's going to be able to review this game.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait for at least a week or two.
They have to wait for everything to go live. So
yeah.
I think a lot of reviews are going to... You're going to see some that they just need the hits right away. They're going to trickle out next day or 2 days later. But I think your IGNs and stuff like that, they're going to wait anywhere from 5 to 7 days. So now, they're going to give you like a preview review, but...
So give me your prediction. What will the Metacritic average be?
I think it's going to score higher than Destiny. I'm going to say 78.
All right.
I think there's going to be people that absolutely love it, and there's going to be people that
And this crap is this is the it. Critic score, not the user score.
Yeah.
The one that
critics.
Matters. Yeah.
There's going to be cuz their opinions are so much better.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be some media sites that are going to come out and say this is way better in Destiny. It's a 95. Everything they do is amazing. Can't wait to see more. And then I think you're going to get people... I've already saw it with the beta. I saw people writing up articles about this game, talking about how crappy it was because it didn't play like Gears of War. Hmm. And I'm like, this game was never, ever, ever advertised as a Gears of War.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Game.
It's not a full action cover-based shooter.
Not even close.
Even though you use cover and you shoot guns. That's the only similarities, right?
I'm gonna say this the way Derek says things. This is not to be cool. This is not to act like I'm something special. This is just how I think. So I'm gonna give you my inner monologue. When I read this stupid shit like that, I get really pissed because it's just so dumb. Like, these are people that work in the games media industry that don't even know what these high-profile games are supposed to be. They don't even do any research
at
all.
Preach.
And they go out and they type up these opinion pieces and they bash these big games. And I'll tell you why they do it. One, they're dumb. And two, they're smart because they know they're going to get clicks. They know got me. They know you're going to click it and go, why does this idiot think The Division's like Gears of War?
Yeah.
It never was supposed to be that way.
Well, as someone who does a lot of digital marketing, I can tell you that getting those clicks can be super important. So
Yeah. So
I'm with you.
Basically, what Tim's trying to say is Derek hates people like Tim who false advertise. No, I'm just kidding. But they go out there and they don't educate themselves. Or they purposely leave certain things off or skew opinions to get clicks. And it drives me nuts because and this is just my brain here. This is how I think. This is the type of stuff that, not right now, but down the road, is going to kill the industry because it's going to push people that love games away because they're going to get so tired of seeing all these TMZ clickbait articles and politically correct bullcrap flooding the games media, and I hate to see it. And I think you're going to get that I know I went on off on a tangent, but I think you're going to get that in a lot of the reviews of The Division. You're going to get a lot of people that are like, this game sucks because it doesn't play like Halo. You know, something like that.
All right, let me give you my prediction. Everyone's been waiting with bated breath to hear what I think, since I'm clearly passionate about this game like you are. My prediction for this score is going to be right at a 71. So I'm a little bit more on the negative side than you, and that's not because I think the game will be worse. I just think that's what the review scores will come in as an average. So 71.
I can't, like I said, 78, because I want to believe there's going to be more people that are like me that are going to love it. But I can't say that you're going to be wrong, because I really do think you're going to see a flood of 40s, 50s. I mean, I think you and I talked about it a couple weeks ago where I told you we were talking about a certain game. We were talking about Metacritic. Oh, it was Street Fighter, where the guy said that this was the best fighting game he'd ever played mechanically and gave it a 50.
That's right.
So all right, guys. You're get that with The Division.
Be excited about The Division, though. It does look like an amazing game. I know a lot of people in our community will be playing it, so hopefully we'll be able to team up together, whether you're on Xbox One or PS4. Be sure you're in our Facebook group, Fathers of the Grind Facebook group, and share your username, share your gamer tags, your PSN IDs, and let's get gaming this
Please.
Week.
Be excited.
Yeah, be excited. Be excited. All right, so I think that wraps us up for right now. And Derek, I think it's become really an age-old tradition at this point with how long this podcast has been running. We need to hear some words of wisdom from you to send us off.
I think what I want you guys to do is I want you to listen to our podcast. I want you to become fanboys and share our podcast with the world. And I want you to love me and hate Tim. And I want us to start a hashtag where we start hating on Tim for who he is. And I leave you with that. It's a challenge. I want to see you guys do that. So no, you're not getting words of wisdom. I'm challenging you to go hate on Tim. Create a hashtag. Yeah,
appreciate that more than I can express. That's really, really lovely. Thank you.
You can cut this out of the show.
All right, you guys. Take care. Thanks for listening.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
I'm going to have my daughter keeps coming in here. She's going to sign us off perhaps after the sign-in. Oh, now here, kneel up here, baby. All right. All right, I'm going to have you say thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
See you next time. Yeah.
Yeah, sure, we'll count that.